Right. Well, we really want to make this morning over to you and where you are and any clarifications and all of that. So shall we start with hello and how are you and what is going on generally, not only with the AT, but how are you? Do you want to start us off, Bev, or is that unfair?
No, I just want to give Sebastian the opportunity if he wants to go first.
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I think I've been all right, and yeah, I managed to find a second client now. And yeah, I might have today or maybe tomorrow a bit of clarifications with Donna, because
Yes.
I have a feeling the communication, in writing, it might alter, the anyway. I think a good chat, it might be helpful. So I think my client, yeah, she's really happy to work with, and she's quite compliant, I would say. She's a math teacher, and she was born in Romania. I've been knowing her when we were students, and she's been living here, I don't know, in 10 years now. And Donna suggested that it might be a good idea to, to run the session into Romania, and she agreed, And yeah, it's really interesting, I would say. She's starting feeling heavy, but there was only one. Shall I discuss or not, Donna? Or that is just, shall I bring that just for the. Okay, I'll leave it.
No, what I'm going to say is let's do a little presentation on our current work in a minute, but just how are you generally? Just a minute or two now, I think.
Oh yeah, I think
Yes.
yeah, I've been
So,
really, really busy because I do a full-time job,
yeah.
and we had a couple of incidents recently. So I've been doing like 45 hours this week, and I slept over 10 hours last night. So I don't know. I'm really,
Yes.
really tired. Yeah. So, but anyway, that's fine.
Yes. So that's your summing up at the moment. And when we
Yeah.
are really busy, there's not much else to talk about, is there, except the busyness. So,
No, it's not good to talk
no,
about work, isn't it?
not entirely. So, thank you for that. We will return to your client because I
Yeah,
think
of
we, you know,
course.
I'd like to stay longer with that. With the yes, excellent. Bev, I only asked you first because you arrived first. That was the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Pass it on. Pass on the love. Yeah. Yes, I'm here in body, but I'm not sure where my spirit is. Yeah, I'm likewise, I'm kind of under a lot of pressure with course deadlines at the moment and multiple essays and case studies and client work and interviews for placements. So it's all coalesced right at this moment. And yeah, I'm practicing good self-care. But yes, I won't lie, it is intense. Yeah.
And so you're doing, well, like us, you're doing weekend training weekends, is that right?
Yeah, training
Yes.
weekends and interviews for placements and then
Yeah.
starting to work with clients. So
Yeah.
yeah, there's a lot involved in
Yeah.
ticking all the boxes and yeah, doing what needs to be done really to get to the next stage. Also making sure I do everything I need to do for AT because I've still got the essay or article to write for that.
We are always flexible,
Yeah.
as long as you complete your training by March 2025,
Yeah.
we don't ask anything extra. We knew you were going to be doing this training course. You, of course, will want to get it off your back, or anything you can do that combines the two could be quite useful. I can appreciate that. So, but if we say that to you, I know you well enough to know that you will not let this drag on until March 2025. I'm sure you won't, Bev, not for a moment. But our rules are that you would have to do the course again if you weren't qualified by then. So we'll just know that that's the backstop.
Sure. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. My mission is to hit all the deadlines whilst also being realistic about kind of, if a couple of extra weeks meant that I actually submitted something much better, then to put that out there.
Absolutely do that. Please do that. Yes, you've got, that's part of your self-care, isn't it? And we all knew that you were going to be doing this extra training. Sorry, I'm rabbiting on here. Anybody else want to butt in?
No, I just think you're amazing, Bev, actually, for taking it on. I remember doing all the coursework and the training and this, that, and the other, and it is intense, is the right word. It's all consuming. So good luck with it. I'm sure you'll get there, but while you're in it, you do think, oh, help. So you'll come out the other side, knowing that you've done it.
Yeah, and stronger
it'll be a
because
good
of
feeling.
it.
Absolutely.
And it's been an amazing opportunity to talk about AT to people. I had an interview with Mind, the mental health charity, on Thursday for a student placement with them. And I was talking to them about autogenics, and they were like, we need some of that here in our group work. And I could imagine, and they've offered me a placement. I could see kind of alongside some of the other group programs they do, running autogenic training for people. Yeah, so people are really open to it.
They are in theory, and we've done all this, because we do. You have wonderful conversations with people, and then it all goes blank. But if you're going to be in there and involved, well, it would be absolutely superb, wouldn't it? Of course, you've got to do your proper coursework with them because you're doing that training. Of course, you are. But having got feet under the desk and people knowing you, and obviously they are hearing you. And wasn't it interesting how they used the title of my book? I could, we could do with some of that, There we go.
Yeah, and I'm not in any rush to kind of set things up. I'm so busy with the course, but it's
That's it.
interesting how you never know where in life your journey leads you and what opportunities arise and where you can offer help and support. So yeah, so it's interesting that that's come up.
Yes. That is well, that's part of our work in AT, isn't it? We're once we realize that we're talking about it and we've got our own passion about it, people start listening, or they glaze over and they can't get hold of it, and they just don't know what we're talking about, so move on quickly when it's like that. But that sounds really exciting. Sorry, we're going a little bit off
I
course.
interrupted you, Jane. Yes, I was going to say it's brilliant practicing with so many diverse people how to explain in a nutshell what all training is. Yeah, and I'm trying to condense it into about three sentences.
Yes. Have you ever heard of the elevator pitch?
Oh
This
no.
is, oh, I did quite a bit of networking back in the day with a huge organization, cost me a lot of money. Never mind all that. But I got a lot of training. We used to go to breakfast meetings, and you could speak for 1 minute on your work. So it was a very good training to find just one aspect of what we do. And it's usually about benefits. So that was a good thing. But the other trick was an elevator pitch. You're in the lift with somebody going up to the 10th floor, and the conversation starts. Oh, so what are you reading through here? And then, oh, this is my work. It's autogenic training. And by the time you've got to the 10th floor, you must have explained it in a very, very short, succinct manner. So that's the elevator pitch. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think,
absolutely.
obviously it's an American expression because it's the word elevator. But that was very good for me. I learned how to pick out something and then say, how would it be if, and whatever it was I was saying, well, how do we do it? You can come along to me, and in an 8 week call or whatever it would be. So, you're doing it already, though, Bev. I'm teaching stuff you're already
Oh,
doing.
no, I'm not. Always open to new learning.
Right. So, shall we go back to Sebastian's case? What, Donna? You must chip in and make suggestions. Shall we do a bit
On Sebastian's case,
yes.
do you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
So shall, I mean, I need to ask for first, Donna, shall, I mean, shall I disclose it or shall I talk with you first and then, or?
Well, no, we can. It's up to you, Sebastian, really. It's your case study.
Okay, so yeah, I think when.
Can we start from the start?
Yes.
Yes, where you got and all of that. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so she's a math teacher, yeah, and she's been teaching at a college in where about? I think it's in Birmingham, yeah, and now she gave up and she's teaching online. And yeah, she's been very stressed out with her workload, you know, and didn't have enough time, you know, to chill. She's been having difficulties sleeping. Anyway, I've done the assessment and yeah, and what was interesting from the past, dad died when in 2013. It was this, I don't know, he fell and he broke one of the artery. And anyway, so when I asked the client, you know, just to, you know, to talk about what happened, you know, she actually bursted into tears and, you know, and I said, you know what, we can leave it. So I think there is some sort of emotional trauma, you know, I mean, related with her past experiences. Yeah, anyway, sorry, I don't have all the bits
Oh,
in the
never
front.
mind. Never mind. Just, yeah.
So, yeah, what was the most important is that I mean, Donna suggested that I can, you know, do this because her native language is Romanian, but she speaks on a daily basis English, you know, because she's been living in UK for, I don't know, 2013. That is 11 years now, yeah. So yeah, English is a part of, let's say, yeah, is a second language, but you know, speaking on the daily basis. And I think it was really interesting when I presented, you know, the postures because, you know, being a teacher and, you know, running session online, she wasn't comfortable at all to be observed by someone. And when I introduced the postures, she told me I felt really, really frustrated someone to observe me, but and I had to clarify. She said I was really nervous and I don't want anyone to watch me. But I said, I'm not watching you to observe what you do. It's just to make sure that you adopt the correct posture. Yeah. And I think just for the first time, because she never practiced, she didn't know anything about it. The first time, yeah, because I said, I'm just teaching you and then you're doing everything by yourself. She was really nervous, yeah, when she had to close her eyes and, you know, and we did a body scan. Yeah. But I think afterwards she got really used, you know, to the practice. And I think, yeah, we encounter one problem. So I think, yeah, I'm running did the fourth session. I was met there tomorrow. And I introduced the heaviness part one, and I presented the short stitch. And the last week, when we discussed about the home practice, she said that I think she altered the practice, so she was doing short stitch in bed, yeah, with closing at night and with a long body scan. So, and she said this actually helped her to go to sleep. So at night in bed, she was doing short stitch, lying flat with a long body scan, and then close, and then again with a long body scan, and again closing. And she said that this helped her to go to sleep. And I said, no, we need to clarify this. I think we spent about 30 minutes discussing. And I know, as far as when I went again through the notes, short stitch, yeah, you can do short stitch in bed, but you're not, I mean, you shouldn't close when you're in bed, no? From what I learned.
That's
And I
right.
suggested instead, and definitely with the body scan, we do the body scan just to put us in touch with our body. But, and I said from scratch, but she thought that she can alter the practice. So she was looking to get, you know, like an immediate, you know, response. And I said, no, that's wrong. With AT, you need to practice. The more you practice, and then you'll benefit from it. And I said, definitely, you do this body scan just when you start your practice, just once. Yeah, you don't need to do it for every session, and you shouldn't do a long 2 minutes body scan. That's bad. That's really bad. And then I said, sorry.
Sorry, I heard you say a 30 minute. No, it was 30 minutes to talk about it.
No,
Okay,
I
so it wasn't a
three.
two minute, wasn't, yes, okay,
So last
2 minute
week, when
scan.
we starting the session, yeah, I lead her, to the previous week exercise, and then we discuss about, the what is his name about the practice. And she said, "Oh yeah, I was so busy. I've been doing, one session instead of three. I was doing one session a day because I didn't have enough time. But in bed at night to help me to get to sleep, I did I was doing short stitch with, and the way she described it, she said it was actually what is his name? Body scan, followed by short stitch, and she closed, and then again and repeat, and then she closed. And I had to clarify what is again the passive concentration. Yeah, what is, when do we use the body scan? So I spent about 30 minutes, and I sent her again an email, clarifying. Yeah, and the documents, the handouts are, I gave her the English version. And just for the statements, I did translate the status into Romanian, just the statements. My right arm is heavy. That the bit is in Romanian, yeah. But she's got the handouts in English, and definitely, she's very, I mean, she speaks English, And I said, if you're having difficulties, please drop me an email or contact me. I'm really happy. I don't know what she did this week. I'm just about to talk to her tomorrow. But the problem was that, personally, and I asked Donna, I said, from my point of view, it's not a good practice, to do short stitch with a long body scan and close before you want to go to sleep, just thinking that might help you go to sleep. Or please correct me if I said something wrong.
I want to ask you, because she's got that. It's not uncommon, Sebastian, for people to get the wrong idea of short stitch, and of course it is an awkward name. We teach it in week one, and it's because we go in and out of this, and it teaches us a lot. That's what we do, and of course at night time that is not what we do, and we can't call it short stitch. This is what I say to people. We don't call it short stitch at night. All you're
But
doing,
she was saying three times, my right arm is heavy, my right
I
arm is
don't,
heavy.
shh, shh,
Yeah.
Sebastian, please don't interrupt. Please, because I haven't finished what I'm saying. I have heard you loud and clear what she was doing. Yes. When I'm talking to clients, I say, at night time, you're lying in bed and you simply do. My right arm is heavy. My right arm is heavy. My right arm is heavy. I made a joke yesterday. I said you could do it all night long if you're awake and you can do it 800 times. Only please don't count 800 times. And this removes it from being short stitch. It is simply what we do before sleep. So that's one way to explain it. Just to clarify that short is when we're coming in and out, which is in the daytime. And at night, right arm heavy, over and over and over again. And then we drop off to sleep. And then oh, my right arm is heavy. I can do some more. My right arm is heavy. My right arm is heavy. And of course, you are telling her not to close at night. That's very good. And she hadn't understood that, partly because short stitch was still in her head. So you could encourage her and say, actually, you say this is helping you. I'm surprised it does because you keep coming out of it. But when you do it this way, with just long right arm heavies over and over and over again, that is what might lead you into sleep. Sorry, that's a long explanation for me now. I've shut up. Anything to add? Maybe Bev? Donna?
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the notes somewhere about not necessarily introducing the concept of short stitch at night before going to sleep. I don't know if I read that somewhere. And then explaining to the client that if they wanted to practice in bed at night before they go to sleep, once you get onto heaviness part one, to explain about the not closing, because maybe that makes it easier to understand. I don't know if I read that somewhere.
Well, I would never start anybody off with autogenic training without explaining they can do it at night. So
Yeah.
whatever we are doing in that week, they can do at night in bed without ever doing any closing. So
Yeah.
I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't wait. What do you think, Donna?
Yeah,
I'm
I
not
don't
sure.
mind either. I say if they want to do it at night in bed, that's fine. Just don't close, obviously. So I've probably got more information in my head that I've got with Sebastian, so I'm getting a bit sort of confused with what I already know, what I've already heard from you. Because I think another part you'd said to me, Sebastian, as well, was that she wasn't doing the long heaviness exercise or something. Was did you say in your email? Sorry, my power's gonna go.
So that was at night, she said, because heaviness one was too long. Yeah, she practiced it a few times during the week, yeah, but then at night she said the heaviness part one was too long. But when I introduced the short stitch, I said, when you, let's say, for example, when you don't have enough time, when you're short of time, when you're under pressure, when you stress out, short stitch is the first aid. You can practice as many times as you want, you understand it? And definitely, I mentioned that you can do it in bed, but without closing. But she just, I don't know, she thought that she may alter, the formulas, just, perhaps to, I think that was something.
She was altering them too much. She wasn't changing the words. She was just deciding that maybe that we can be quite practical with autogenics as well. Ask her, how long does it take you to, what is too long for you? What does that mean? Did you ask her that, and did she have anything to say?
So she did. I mean, I asked her, could you tell me how did you practice? She said, I was doing a body scan, yeah, long body
Yeah.
scan, and then the short stitch. I said three times my right arm is heavy. I was closing, and then I restarted again. So
Good.
body scan, short stitch, close.
Right.
Body
And what
scan,
about,
short stitch.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And let's go back to the heaviness part one, which she said was too long.
Yes, but she practiced it, I think, a few times. I need to check, yeah, because I have it on my diary. Yeah. Yeah, I think within 3 days she've done it. Yeah, she done it like a correct session, once a day. Yeah,
Okay.
but that happened. I
However,
mean, the long short stitch. Sorry, the short stitch would happen on three consecutive nights.
can we leave aside the short stitch for a moment? Because you said earlier that she made a complaint. I heard it as a complaint that the full heaviness part one was too long
At night.
at
I don't
night.
think it was a
Right,
complaint.
right. Now, okay, what would we say about that to our client? I can't do it at night, it's too long.
Daytime.
What, daytime certainly, but what can we say about why it's difficult at night? I would say the poor old brain actually wants to go to sleep. It doesn't actually want to be thinking about, well, I've got to be, or have I said right arm four times or two times? I can't remember. Then I've got to go to, oh, I missed out the left arm. Oh, I've got to, the brain gets busy when we give it something too long. And that's another very, very good time to say, just do right arm heavy and let it roll over. And your brain can still have a rest because it doesn't have to think too much. And then it can perhaps go to sleep. Does that make sense? I'm a great one for not encouraging full exercises in bed at night. Not that I say you mustn't, but I say it just gets too tiring. Why would you wake yourself up trying to remember it all?
But I mean, when I explain that you can do the exercise, it doesn't matter whether you forget is right or left. If you fall
Exactly.
asleep, that is the most important. And at night, you don't even, because she asked me, but what about at night? Do I need to, to take notes? And I said, if you remember next day, it's fine. If not, leave
Good.
it.
Good. Good. So you're giving her all the right advice then. And all I've done is embellish how you might explain something. Just that this is why it is difficult to do at night. We must always ask the client, you've told me you feel it's too long. So what is that about for you? Is it taking too much out of your day? Is it keeping you awake? What's going on with what is too long? So we always clarify.
Thanks. Thanks, Jane.
Is that all right? Just gives you a few clues as to other things. And I'm very keen, you know me well, just to keep clarifying, ask the questions. When somebody tells us something is too long, or tells me something is too long, I will put my spin on it and I will have my ideas about it. But that's not them, is it? It's me. So I must ask them to find out exactly what they mean. Everybody's gone quiet.
I'm just talking to Pia. She's
Oh,
got the time
oh.
wrong, so apologies if I don't look present. She's
Oh.
logging on now, she said.
Oh.
Oh, lovely.
Oh my goodness me. Is this the first one we've done since we've no, we've been on winter time for a while, haven't we?
Yes,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much, Bev, for doing that. That's brilliant. Sebastian, I do hope we're not confusing you.
About what?
Oh, about what we've just been talking about.
Oh,
Are
no, no,
you
no, 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 no.
happy? Okay. Can we come back to the Romanian and English bit?
Sorry?
Can I make some comments about the English and
Please.
Romanian and
Yes.
the what do we do with that? I mean, I hope that you are both the two of you conducting your sessions in Romanian because it's
No, all
your.
sessions are in Romanian. All sessions are run in Romanian. Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad because then you can have a
No,
good.
no. Any? Yeah, of course. No. Yeah. It's for me. It's completely different because in Romania, and you know, and at some point, I'm actually using English words because I'm still used to speaking to.
Yes.
So you know, the brain is trained, you know, to take the autopilot.
But I think in a discussion with a like-languaged person, if that's the right way to put it, that the two of you are Romanian. Of course, you know, if I was talking, if I was French and I learned autogenics with somebody who was English, it would be wonderful if they could talk French because I would appreciate that. Pia, hello. Are you here?
Hello,
Oh, hello.
I am so embarrassed. You know, I get it on my thing and I realize what I've done. I've set it for the Sydney time, not for Brisbane. It's 1 hour difference. I'm so sorry. I was ready to go and I also real anyway. I'm so sorry. I've been so looking forward to this. This is terrible. My God. So sorry.
No need to apologize, Pia. It happens to
No,
the best of us.
it's not okay. No, it's not okay. I'm so glad to see you, Bev. I was not
I
sure
know.
that.
I've told my husband he has to wait for me. He's taking me to the Yorkshire Dales for a break from my laptop. He says, "What
Oh,
time will you be finished?" I said, "Hopefully at 1 o'clock."
it's so good to see everyone. I do apologize. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
I've got a sense that your apology needs to go to yourself. Because you've told us how much you were looking forward to this, and now it's happened to me. But look, you haven't missed very much. Shall we, if we can hold where we've got to, we started with just a very brief catch up with how we are. So do you want to tell us that? That's not necessarily about the work, but just how you are and what's going on for you.
How am I? Well, at the moment, I'm really stressed.
Yes.
But other than that, I tell you, it's been pretty hard because I work full time and then the essay and not the essay, but the
Case
case
study.
study, it's just not easy for me. That's just how it is, you know. So it's been tough. But other than that, and Jane, I submitted it 3 minutes too late. I should have done it five, and it was just sitting there in space. Am I going to get marked on that? Midnight. So it was 10 o'clock my morning, right? And I was just sitting there doing my last reflection. I said, oh, fuck it up. I'm running out of time. So it's 5 to minute 2. I submitted it and it was just sitting there spinning. So I said, oh my God. And I didn't know that it actually got in 3 minutes after 10 in my time, because I went into a session with a client. But anyway, am I going to get marked on that?
Yeah, I think if we marked you on that as with a punitive ticking off, then I think we should all be shot at dawn. That would be most unfair. I received it. I was quite busy on Thursday. There was a lot going on and I was at work on Friday. So I don't think I even said thank you, but I have received
I didn't
it
even...
and Beth as well. So,
you know, no. I just sent it. There was no, hi, Jane, here it is, or anything. It was just, here it is. Terrible, God. Anyway.
All I thought was, well done, Pia. You know, once you've got these studies off your back, it's a great moment. And I would simply say, well done to everybody. And there is no punishment. If you've asked for an extension because it's been, you know, in time, then of course, you know, and that is granted, that is fine. There is no punishment at all. If we didn't have deadlines, we would have people doing things for 5 years. You know, it can't work like that. So we just have it as a guideline. And if you've fulfilled it, that's fantastic. And I tell you what, I think it was when Donna was training, there were 10 people in your group, weren't there, Donna?
There was, yeah.
And every single one of those 10 students submitted their case studies exactly on time. And I went through the roof. I had got all these case studies to mark. All, you know, where do I start? What am I going to do? He's going to... So there's another side to the coin, always.
Yeah.
There's another side to the coin. So, yes?
May I say that as much as it has been really, really hard for me, and it is my dyslexia, it's just how it is. And I have learned so much doing it.
Oh.
So much. And I, in a way, I wish that the one that I've done now, I think that should have been the first one, because I was sitting under 10,000 words. So I learned so much also about how I process things. And because I'm a talk therapist, you know, I think I use a lot of gum flapping and we couldn't do that in the ASA. So I've learned heaps. Absolutely heaps. And you are right. This will come in good one day. I just know.
Yes.
Just know. So,
yes.
Yes, okay. It has been hard, but I've learned a heaps.
Yes.
Heaps.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think with that, we have actually just sort of caught up with what you've missed. Sebastian is just presenting a case and we're discussing it now. Getting to the really interesting point of he is teaching a Romanian, aren't you, Sebastian? We were just getting to the point of language and which language you're teaching it in, and you're running your sessions, of course, both of you, in Romanian. That makes complete sense. And then, so we're just getting to the next part, which is how is she practicing her exercises, Sebastian? Is she doing them in Romanian or in English?
In Romanian.
She's doing those in Romanian, yes. Okay.
But what she was doing, she was writing her notes into English, you know, like, you know, the, what is his name? The journal, you know, and I said, no, do it in Romanian. No, do it in Romanian because, you know, it doesn't make sense. But she told me at some point, cause I asked, what would you prefer? But because she's teaching on a daily basis into English, she said, you know, I'm not able now to teach maths into Romanian because I'm not used anymore. She had a student from Romania said, I'm sorry, I cannot teach them in Romanian because I forgot. My brain is set to English. You know, and I think that's why she wrote down her journal, you know, whatever reaction she had into English. And I said, for me, it's not a problem, but I would encourage you to do it in Romanian.
Yes.
And then I will translate.
And, well, it's really interesting, isn't it, that her mindset is very much, she's come to England, she's teaching, she's full-time, she's realising she's not as efficient now with her maths, with teaching that in Romanian as she used to be. Understand that entirely. And that is all cognitive, isn't it? It is all academic. It is intellectual. It is part of her work. None of that applies with autogenic training. Autogenic training is not about intellect. She's learning the exercises. The practice really should be done in Romanian because it is her mother tongue. And the mother tongue is much closer to all the automatic functioning in mind and body. It's the language we learned without intellect. It's the language that evolved within us. So it is really important that she does, yes, her journal in Romanian, and practices the exercises in Romanian. We can't force people to do that. But once you begin to talk in these terms, she will realize that, yes, for her English work, yes, she needs the English. Of course she does. And I expect she's very good at it. And all of that is in place. But autogenics is deep within her. And that's the main thing we're teaching. Donna, do you have anything to add there?
No, I think that's kind of why I suggested. Well, actually, I didn't suggest that they did do it in Romanian. It was just to see, because sometimes you can start thinking in English and then it flips into Romanian. So just to keep a watch on it if that happened.
Yes.
And
there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything good about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And she already started reporting sensations of heaviness, you know, feeling very, very, very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. That is lovely. So where have you got to now then? You're going to see her tomorrow to do which?
Yeah, tomorrow is the next.
Which session next?
So we've done Heaviness Part 2 last week, yeah. And then I was meant to do the want. Yeah, but I need to find out how did she get on, didn't get the chance to catch up.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely. So thank you very much. This session, as we have said, Pierre, is really going to be led by the students, but we want to be attending a little bit to the bits of the test that you might have found trying. So we will look at that too in a minute. But for now, a little bit of group supervision. We started with Sebastian. Bev, do you want to talk about, have you got a current client? Or, I mean, have you got a third client yet? Or what is, or where are you with this, and where would you like to be?
Yes, I had my follow-up. Let me just check, because all the days are merging into one. My follow-up was on the 30th of January, and one thing to note about that is my first client, we did the follow-up 6 weeks after we finished the course.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to see what it's like doing it 8 weeks after with the second client. Then I can have a bit of a comparison.
Yeah.
And due to a family bereavement and funeral and travel, we ended up having a 9 weeks break. And what was interesting to note in that was the distance that existed in the relationship between us. So it was almost like it took maybe 10, 15 minutes for the client to warm up and get used to kind of the probing nature of the questions we ask in AT to help a client explore and share what's been going on in their process. So it was ever so slight, but it was just something that I noticed in the field between us, which kind of makes me think perhaps I'd like to keep it to just 6 weeks, you know, the time, you know, and to see if, you know, that's long enough for a client to be working on their own. And obviously I'm interested in what you guys do and what your experiences are on that one.
Do you want to start us off, Donna?
I think at the hospital it's kind of set, isn't it? And it works out. I'm trying to work it out. That's why I was a bit glazed over there. So is it nearly 3 months, isn't
it? It's about 3 months.
Is it?
The hospital.
Yeah.
Well, we have to, because we run an 8 week course. And then there's a couple of weeks. I mean, we have holiday. We have other things that go on in between. So it can often be 3 months.
Yeah.
And that is fine. Go on, Tonna.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, and that works well, doesn't it? Or it seems to. Mm. In private practice, I'm more flexible, obviously, as we all are. So I give them sort of an eight week. I look up about 8 weeks and I say, well, this will be about 8 weeks. So, and then, I can't do that because of holidays. So it might be a couple of weeks beforehand. It might be a couple of weeks after. So it's all a bit movable when you're in private practice, fitting in. But I don't think really that I've had people that will come back for a follow up, regardless of when it is. And then you'll get those that they finish their course with you and you book, even though you book them in, they won't turn up or they cancel. They won't come back anyway. So that's probably not a very good answer, really, is it? But
yes, it is. It's a very good answer.
No definitive.
No, but it is. It's, I think there's no one size fits all is what I'm hearing from this, that, you know, I suppose what I'm describing is what was unique in that relationship between me and my client. And, you know, I could work with another one and do it for 9 weeks and I wouldn't pick up that sense of, you know, there being a little bit of, distance.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, and maybe it's the defences that I was noticing in the client, you know, because she did say during, you know, our time together that she never opens up like she does in our sessions with other people. You know, it's kind of, she doesn't show people that she's vulnerable. She feels really uncomfortable appearing to not have it all together, which is something that was a theme throughout the time we were working together about, you know, accepting who she is, all the parts of her. So there was quite a bit of the, I don't know, I suppose the offloading was a key component in our work together, as well as some psychoeducation of learning self-compassion for when life gets tough. You know, I think what's happened is she's always been highly capable and highly functioning in her family life, in her work life, and then she watched her dad die of a heart attack, and he left two businesses with all the paperwork required, and things weren't perhaps as organized as she thought they would be. She's got her mother that she's taken care of that's got breast cancer, so there's lots of things. There's a half finished house in Cornwall that they suddenly need to look after, so she suddenly had all these extra things on her plate and was quite hard on herself why she wasn't feeling like she could cope. So the reason why she was interested in learning AT was she thought it might provide her with a cure. You know, that magic pill that will make all this go away. And, you know, we talked about this and she wrote it in the end in her evaluation about, you know, how she can see how much work she had to put in. And she wasn't aware of how much work she would have to do, but it's unique to each client. For her, it felt like hard work. She wanted to get rid of the bits that she thought were difficult in herself. And actually, she's been on a journey to learning to accept that and to put herself first. So it was a beautiful journey to see that in her. And, you know, she gave me this wonderful example 1 week of how, when I was asking her how things were going in her life, she said, well, it's really interesting you should say that, Bev, because I was in Edinburgh at the weekend with my husband and we were meeting friends. And normally I'd be up in my room rushing like mad, thinking I need to be downstairs socializing and I need to be there for others and I need to be seen there to be doing this. And I took my time. And she said it was such a different way of being for me. And you know, I explored that with her, what it felt like. And I said, you know, in a way, we're not being selfish by doing that, because we're more present to ourselves. We feel better. And therefore, the quality of the time with the people that we're with is better too, you know. So yeah, so it's been a really, really good experience working with this client. She was very up for it, very compliant. She had difficulty with the breath formula in that she struggles a lot with intruding thoughts. So the handout that you shared with us, Jane, was great. And I used that to talk to her.
I can't remember which one. What do you mean on our standard sheets?
I'm sure you sent us an intruding thoughts handout, but I've definitely...
Oh, that one. Oh, sorry, yeah. The intruding thoughts.
Yeah,
yes.
The intruding thoughts. And yeah. So I used that as a basis for putting something together to send to her. And she found that really helpful. And we did spend quite a lot of time talking about standard AT and about not leaving gaps, not going too slow on the repetitions. And that was a game changer for her. Did you just say, you know, that first round, if you need to say it fast to subdue the brain and it's manic activity, that's absolutely fine. You know, in a way, she helped me realize how we personalize AT for the client. Mm-hmm. And what was I going to say? So, yeah, intruding thoughts and the breath. So the slowing down to observe the breath. Mm-hmm. And then trying to kind of say the formula and have the breath, I think it caused a mini mind implosion inside her. She really struggled to match those two. And I think her brain started getting overactive, thinking, well, when do I breathe out? Is it on the it? I just sensed there was this kind of, I don't know, tension there. And so a lot of what we talked about was passive awareness, simply observing the breath. And it was, so we took out any pauses for the breath for her, and she found that much better if she could just kind of say the repetitions without needing to be there observing it. And then when we got to the end, when we did the follow-up and I introduced variations, and I talked about the silent AT, and I said, it may be for you that as you're deepening your practice, that you don't say the breath formula, that you simply observe your breath. And you can use the other formula and to keep an eye on it, because if in that space of observation there's too much intruding thoughts, then that's where you could bring back in your formula. So yeah, I'm very grateful for any advice or insights on people who are struggling in the same way with the breath formula. Or indeed intruding thoughts.
Well, two things, aren't there? Certainly for the breath formula, I'm very glad in the end that you said give up the words on it.
Yeah.
Because actually, as soon as somebody is saying, do I breathe in on it? I mean, that's a clear indication that they should not have any words at all. Yeah. And I always take things back to babies in this. That the baby breathes without worrying about it. So we can always say that, look, you're going to breathe anyway.
Yeah.
So let's let go of the words and stop worrying about which part is which. In the end, you did get that bit. And but that's what I always say if anyone is struggling with the breathing formula, because we're going to breathe anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, and in a way, those slightly awkward words are awkward enough then to make us worry about it more. It breathes me isn't English, is it? It doesn't make sense. So how do I do this? What am I supposed to be doing? And that's how we get caught up. Was that her intruding thought with the breathing? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, when you say was that
yes,
you're
sorry.
Referring to, do you mean by that the phrasing of the formula?
No, I meant her worry about the phrase, the worry about when to breathe, because she'd got the formula to deal with. I was wondering if...
Yeah, and even having the pauses, I think, you know, the one formula I thought that I might need to kind of be sensitive to was the heartbeat, given that she'd watched her dad trying to be resuscitated by paramedics. I was very mindful of, will there be a reaction here? You know, anxiety in the heart and things, not a single thing. So for her, and she's done yoga practices, which she's done breath work. So it was interesting with that. I think what she's taught me is never assume you know what's going to emerge for a client. Yeah.
This is number one. We can never assume. And but good to have that awareness. I wonder how she's going to be with it. I mean, before the heartbeat one, you might have probably did say, well, I've explained it now. How is that sounding to you? You probably said something like that. And she was OK. You went ahead with it. No problem at all.
Yeah.
I would suggest that the other assumption we might make is that it's all going to happen in front of us during the session. Yeah. And if there is going to be a reaction, I think it's much more likely it's going to be when they are private at home, because their own sense of self, body, mind, everything else is going to say, well, nobody's going to, you know, I can do this now. I can have a good cry, or that image is there. I'm going to go with it and follow it and see what it's just, but it, that's not a conscious thought. It's much more likely though to happen when the person is free of any other interruptions. So that's message number one. Anything can happen away from the consulting room.
Yeah, and yes. I kind of have made it standard for me to check in with the client how they feel about the new formula, the phrasing of the words. Are they happy to move on? So wondering if I don't ask that question, what aren't they not telling me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I would make it an open question as well. Not, are you happy to go on? Because they're very likely to say yes, because they're, you know. So make it an open one. How does this sound to you? Or yeah. What's this? Is this making sense? Well, that's a closed question, isn't it? I don't know. Donna, how do you manage these things? I think you're quite right, though, Bev, to do that little checkout.
I always say, you know, I'm trying to think how I phrase it, but I always check out, are you happy with the words? How does that feel with you? Sometimes I ask them to sit with words, or just sit with, like finding a pulse with the heartbeat. Do you want to just sit and just, before I even give them the words, sometimes it's just sit with, you know, can you feel your heartbeat or a pulse or something? So they get sort of used to it. And I always say, are we happy to go ahead with this? And I'll tell them, so I'll run through it. We're going to do right arm, arms and legs, then heartbeat, or then the breathing. So they know the flow of it as well, and where it will go before I lead them through. I'm so sorry. One thing that I was going to say about the breath, though, I found people that do a lot of yoga and breath work, they automatically want to hang it somewhere, don't they? Like, it breathes me, or they always want to do something with it. And that's really common. But I do find after a while, usually, if I say, how would it feel if you just didn't have to do that? And they can sort of let go. It's just, I think, habit, because they're used to, oh, I'm breathing now. So I breathe in for four, breathe out for four, or whatever it is that they do. But once they know that it's a bit different, and that we just let it go and let the body do its thing, they kind of come round to it, and they can settle with it better. I think it's just different. It's the first time. This is the only technique I know that we don't control it. We don't do anything with it, do we? We don't change it or make it something. And I think people are very, they're not used to that. It's a bit alien to them.
And thank you so much, Donna, because when you mentioned yoga, Bev, I was thinking, yes, Luther was very, very, very against people doing yoga. And of course, there's nothing wrong with yoga. Of course there isn't. But it was only the breathing part that he said, and he mentioned yoga. Now, I never say to people they shouldn't do yoga, but I'm terribly aware that when we get to the breathing bit in AT, that can be a big issue. So thanks, Donna and Bev, for bringing that up. And that's where dropping the words usually does the trick, and that people are just breathing. And it's quite comforting to know that that's going to happen anyway, whatever else they're struggling with. They are going to keep breathing. Yes, Sebastian.
Sorry, I have a question. So considering that I'm just doing my, I think it's the fourth session. So can I get an extension? Because, you know, I have to finish, you know, with my second client and then to submit.
Yes. Yes, of course. Of course, you can have an extension because we've passed the deadline now anyway. So we'll assume and, you're going to have.
So what I'm going to do is do a follow up because that needs to be done, you know, later 6 weeks.
Well, I suggest this, Sebastian. We must come back to what we're talking about in a moment. Finish training her. Go up to the end of the course. Will you write it as you go? Do each session. Almost as soon as you finish, wave goodbye, write it up, write it up, write it up. When you've got the complete course, send it in. And then when she comes for the follow-up, you can send that in later.
So, and the follow-up, I mean, 5,000 words with the follow-up included.
Well, no, send off the first course. If, you know, write it up as you go. When you get to week 9 and you've finished that part. You can send the study in then. We can get on with having a look at it. And when she comes back for the follow-up, just send the follow-up session in. We can add it to the final course. Oh, maybe that's what you were saying. Is that right?
So what I'm trying to say, I mean, 5,000 words, including the follow-up report.
Oh, ideally, yes. But well, we could probably do a bit of flexibility on that one.
Okay.
But yes.
You.
Yes, ideally, that is correct. And the follow-up won't take many words, I'm quite sure. You know, to be 200 words or something like that. We should think at the very maximum. Yeah. Thank you for that. So with the breathing formula then, it's being ordinary. And I think, oh yes, that's the other thing when I'm introducing the breathing formula. I say Schultz was so very, very clever. We are talking about breathing this week. And here we are in week 6 of our training course. Nobody has mentioned breathing up to this point. Or shall I say, I haven't mentioned breathing up to this point. A couple of you in a group or whatever, you have mentioned it, I remember, way back. And I didn't make much of an answer, quite deliberately. And that's because the autogenic process is getting underway all by itself. And if we start paying attention to breathing on week 1, which is what would happen in many, many other methodologies, meditation, yoga, all sorts of other things, breathing is number 1. It isn't with autogenics. So our breathing patterns have been quietly settling without the client even realizing. And then when we get to week 6, the job has ideally already been done, whatever the job is, in self-regulating the breathing. So here we're just picking up the threads and we're just going, oh, it breathes me. Okay. And we might use the words and we might not use the words, but that's how that goes. I think that's a really important point because people very often ask right at the beginning, how am I supposed to breathe? That's a very common question. Has it happened? Well, you haven't had enough practice yet with training people. But do you find that, Donna, that people ask that right at the start?
Not often, actually.
Oh, right.
I don't. Yeah, I've had one or two, but no, I wouldn't say it's like I did two big groups yesterday. Nobody asked about breathing at all.
No.
So, yeah, I don't find it a common question, but I just sort of shrug it off and say, well, how do you want to breathe? How are you breathing? Yeah. Just, you know, we're not concentrating. I think they're too busy concentrating on the posture, their right arm or the words are closing.
Actually, I think the question comes in week 2.
Yeah.
When people are doing all of that and they've done all that and then they're thinking, oh, but surely I ought to be breathing in a certain way. You know, is it right to hold my breath or something or whatever? So in week 2 is often the time it happens. But no, it isn't that often, Donna. It isn't as though it happens every week. Yes.
I do find the ones, though, that I've noticed, and I had one yesterday who does the... as though, you know, you start every meditation, don't you, with a take a deep breath in, and then they start that, and then I watch. I don't comment because I think I'll make a big thing of it. I don't comment, but as the weeks go on, it's interesting that most of them stop doing that. Yeah. They think it's, I don't know whether it's a natural, oh, I'm going to meditate now, so this is what I do, and it's a habit or something, or whether it's just they think, oh, I'm getting, I'm just about to do this, so... And I'll get ready for it. I don't know, but it's funny how it that wears off as the sessions go. I've noticed that several times.
Interesting. And of course, if you are realizing that somebody who probably meditates, it's worth checking that they're not going to meditate while they're learning autogenics. So that's another strand to that bit, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fascinating. Where are we? Thank you so much, Bev. Is that?
Yeah, unless anyone's got any questions.
It's a lovely tale.
I wouldn't mind a quick comfort break if I can.
Let's do that. If we have a quick comfort break and we come back with and make a cup of coffee or whatever you want to do, and we come back with Piers, a client. Yes?
Super. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. Let's do that. What should we say? Fine. 10 minutes or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Client, a little bit.
Okay. Jackie.
It's nice to have a name. Rather than just keep talking about the client, it's nice to have a name.
So Jackie came to me through my daughter-in-law. They were just good friends from the dog park, and she came to me by Katrina. She was saying, "I think you should learn this because I think it'll be good for you. It's this autogenic thing that's really good for to calm the nervous system and everything." And that's how she ended. I ended up having a talk to her and I said, well, I'm looking for a case study. So she became my case study. And I have to say and agree with Bev that this thing about not having any assumptions with what actually comes out of this has been a huge learning for me. And I said it in the case study, probably not deep enough, but what I have really learned this time around is that I had just as much as a process as she did, because I separated from this of being a therapist, totally leaving the hat of being a therapist, left that outside the door.
Yeah.
And I really feel that I got all I'm here to is teach the sequence of the standard exercises. That's my only job, and hold a space for her. And not have this, because I often thought, she probably is going to have this reaction or whatever. No, she didn't. So I said, I'll give it up. Just give it up and just show up as an AT therapist. And that's it. So it was a real, it has been a big journey for me as well. And this thing about, I had to have therapy myself, voice dialogue on it, which was really glad, because a lot came up for me writing the story about, you know, the case study. I repeated myself so much, and I found out that was because of my dyslexia. I was thinking people didn't get what I got in the, what I said in the first place. So that was a pattern of mine to repeat myself because I didn't think they got it. Does that make sense?
It does. So
I learned, so I had really good session on that, and got to know my little girl that was really scared, you know, of people not understanding what she was saying, especially because this is my second language. So it was amplified. Yes. So that was really good. So I learned a lot. But Jackie, so I'm really grateful for what she gave me. I had no idea about her. I didn't know her or anything. And when I got the assessment, which is really important with the assessment, and I found that she's a mother to a little girl, and she has kidney reflux, and is in and out of the hospital all the time. And it was good because I talked to Anne about it, and she says it's actually really, really serious, you know. So she was absolutely a nervous wreck with her daughter going in and out of hospital. And she's only 10 months, well, she must be 4 months older now or whatever it is. But she, or 3 months or whatever it is. But she also had started, what is it called? Therapy, a couple's therapy, because since they got the baby, her husband just flipped totally and utterly. Turns out that he was diagnosed as a narcissist, which what I think far out. Okay. And in this process, it has been so interesting because Jackie she used to do TM meditation years ago, many years. And then when she got married about 5-6 years ago, she let it go. And she didn't practice it regularly, which she now know that the husband was not happy about her not being present and stuff. And then she totally let go of it when she had the little girl because she was just too busy. And not only her little daughter has the reflux, but she also has abnormal growth. So it's really, it would be terrible, you know, really terrible thing to have. And she's really affected by it and have no support from her husband. So when she came to me, she was just stressed out of her tree and hardly slept, and it was not good. So through the AT, she was, and I have to say here, I think I was very lucky to have a client that was so dedicated, because she knew about if she sticks with something. She's a school teacher as well, as really good with hand, you know, with homework and stuff, and she knew she had to really be onto it. So she did, there was not one day she didn't really do AT, other than when she was sick for 2 days. She was just laying there. But she got to the point where her own, because she did all the exercises and whatever, she got in contact with her own trauma as a kid. And, you know, she had heaps of ear infection, and suddenly she had pain in her ears and stuff that came up just by observing what was happening in her AT. And she had forgotten she suffered so much for earaches. It just came up. And then when she got the memory and thought about it, then that went. And on one of the days, in one of the exercises, because Jackie, when she was a child, she suffered for kidney reflux as well. And she was really, really ill, in and out of hospital as well. But she grew out of it. And this is what they hope this little girl will do as well, you know. She lived on antibiotics and stuff, so that created some other problems. But the interesting thing was that she had a scar on her, I think it was her left hand. She took a picture of it and sent it to me. And she had a scar where all the drips had gone in because of all the time she was in hospital. And she did her AT, and it was like suddenly there was like a knife just went through her scar, and she didn't think of it, you know, but it was really painful. And she just noticed what she noticed, wrote it down. And then we had a talk about it, and she realized that it was because of the memory pictures she got with it. Oh my God, that was from when I was in hospital. So she started to look at and took this to her therapist, not to me, but to her therapist, that all these times she had been in hospital was not really processed.
Yes.
So when she, after a couple of days, when she really got some more compassion for that little girl that was in hospital because she felt so terrible alone in hospital, she realized, oh my God, this is how my daughter will be feeling as well. And when she got that compassion for herself, guess what? It totally disappeared. The pain went away. So I thought that was just amazing, you know, and she was very grateful for that, you know, because she had more compassion for her daughter in the way of just being there with her and say, yeah, I know this is horrible, honey, I know. Instead of just comforting her with the physical, she was more there now in a different way. Yeah. So I thought that was really beautiful, really beautiful. Through the course, she came more to self-realization that, and she has great self-realization. She and I think maybe because she's meditated, so she can self-reflect, and she started to own her own part in her marriage and her fear of being alone. She probably doesn't stay with her. I could imagine, but that's still my take on it. You know, of course I don't say that to her, but, and it could be the opposite too. But she came to much more compassion to herself, for herself, and don't blame so much her husband anymore. So she's not saying, well, it is what it is. And she doesn't, she's not so critical, which I think is really amazing, you know. And in the end, she just came to that, hey, I'm going to be okay no matter what happened. I'm going to be okay. So that fear she had and that huge anxiety for the future disappeared. And she reckons that it's because of passive concentration, that it is what it is and you don't have any wants or needs. It is what it is and you just notice. So that helped her to just get into the space of, I will deal with it. When that bridge comes, then I will cross it. But right now, so she really learned what she's missed for many years is to be really present in the moment. So I think I was lucky because she was so dedicated and all that. So I've been spoiled in that way. But I was so grateful for having her as a case study. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm just curious. So you're on the session with your second client face-to-face or online?
Sorry,
it
sounds a little bit...
You're on session with your second client face-to-face?
I think we're repeating. No. It's hard to hear you, Sebastian. Something's repeating.
You've got an echo, Sebastian. A little bit of an echo.
I think it's the connection. Do you hear me now? No?
We can hear you. Yeah, but it sounds like you're in a steel tin.
Can of beans.
My question was, have you run your session with your second client face-to-face or online?
No, she lives far away from me. Yeah, so it's soon. Yeah, soon. Yeah. But I learned a lot from her. Learned a lot, yeah. So I just hope that thread is going through my case study because I didn't feel that I got that in it, you know, but like Bev was saying, it's really hard to get the essence of what happened. Yes. So, but anyway, I hope I get better at that anyway.
I think as far as the case study goes, we do want to know that you are teaching it adequate. I would say adequately, but you know, a standard teaching, of course, which in the second study can be quite brief. And then the outcomes and the what is the process that's going on for the client. Yes, we can only summarize. I mean, we can't ever get right into the detail. You're quite right, Bev. How many thousand words do we say in a session? It's you can't do it. And if you did, it would get even more confusing. So actually our work is really to pick up the threads, you're quite right, Pia, and present them as best we can. And I don't think we will ever get the real truth of a case study like you've just talked about. I mean, that's very powerful, isn't it? And also that dualism that you're tapping into yours as well. And so, you know, that's an extra bonus for you as a therapist. Mm. And to touch on it for the purposes of the case study is wonderful because we will know that you are open and aware and everything else for what's going on with you. But we will never capture all of that. So it is a judgmental process, cutting it down into something that is almost tangible. It's almost, something that we can touch. But what a story. Sorry, I rabbited on that. Anybody want to make any comments?
I just think it's lovely when that happens, when you get somebody that you work with, that you see them grow and change and come out the other end is beautiful. But also when you see it happen to you, you can feel it and the changes in you as well. That's why I love AT so much, basically. But it's nice to see other people having that experience as well.
Yes.
And what I realized as well was with offloading, I am so glad I went with the British Society to learn the offloading exercises. She used them so much. And I don't believe that she would have gone to the place where she is now had it not been for the offloading. I really don't. And she says the same herself. And you know, she was resistant with one of them, but you know, then she did it because because she found that, oh, the sadness and the anger. Oh, okay. Okay. So she was amazing in, because she was almost, I won't say desperate, but she was so ripe to work with what she had. And she grabbed on a little bit, I must say, like 80 become her, and she called it her anchor. That was her anchor to cope with life at the moment for her, because it's really difficult. She used 80 when she was in the hospital and whatever have you, you know, so her sleep, she was better with her sleep. But I must say, the offloading, wow, because I never learned them, but I can see what they, but for me, I knew from last year, but I'm so grateful for them. They're really, really powerful. They really are.
They are, and sadly, not everyone could use them. They're just. So we have to put up with that. And you can never force anyone to do something like that. For some people, that perhaps they are just too much to face and they just can't get there. But when we've got that inner recognition and the realization that actually if anger is trapped, then it's poison, to be perfectly honest. And so any which way that we can find to move it out, emotion, move away, the better. And when people can do that, it is revelatory. It is extraordinary. Yeah. Yes, people have too much of an idea that autogenic training is all about this. And of course, there are so many sidelines, and this isn't. So many things, and the offloading can help many of them. Yeah. It is powerful stuff. It's the surprises. As Donna says, it's lovely to see it happening. A guy that I'm still working with, actually, his course is elongated for various reasons. He started back in November and he still hasn't finished. We've got one session to do. There was a lot of gaps and he was ill and away and doing stuff. And that's how it was. And then he kept criticizing himself, saying, I'm not doing it enough. I'm not feeling it. And I said, well, maybe you are. Have you kept it going? Well, no, not really. And then actually, yes, it's the probing question, isn't it? So what's not really? It sounds like something's going on. And then, you know, a bit of reflection. Well, no, actually, do you know what? In the last 3 weeks, my sleep has been a lot better. I don't really want to say that because I don't want to jinx it. But actually, it happened. Oh, so are you doing your exercises at night? He said, oh, yes, I'm doing them at night. Well, here you are. You're telling me you've hardly done any practice and you're doing it every night. So this is good news. And then he realized himself that actually there's more going on under the surface than he's either looking for or giving credit to. And then he told me something amazing the other week where he got into an exercise. Oh, by the way, I must talk about something else. At assessment, he told me about several really bad traumas he had been through. One of them was age 22. He was in a coach and the coach was in some kind of collision, car fall or something involving another car. And there were some injuries in the coach and the call went out for the people who were not injured. Could they please go down to the car? And this was before ambulances arrived and things. And could they see what has happened to the car? So this young man went down out of the coach and he found two very, very seriously injured people in the car. Really messy. Very, very distressing. And subsequently learned that both of them had died. And we talked about that at assessment. And so I said, that really sounds a very, very tough thing to have been through. Yes, it was, he said. But, oh, well, you know, you sort of get up and you carry on, don't you? And he laughed it off, accompanying a bit of laughing off with a couple of other traumas as well. So fast forward back to where we were. He had found himself, for some reason, didn't know why, just musing a lot on that coach crash, just thinking about it. It was in the back of his mind. He really wasn't sure about it. And he did an autogenic exercise and he found himself really sinking. He said, heavy wasn't in it. I was melting and sinking. It was the most lovely feeling. I was in there. And then I started, some tears came up, and the image came up of that car. And he knew it was on his mind. And he was deeply, deeply in his autogenic state. And another thought came in. I need to look at this, because he was looking at it. I need to look at this. I need to know it. I own my part in it, which was in the end very small, but hey, at the same time for him, very big. That was my part in it. I couldn't do any more. It's all right to let it go. It's all right. It's just moving away. And I can let it go. And I was so impressed by this tale. As he told it, the tears came up. And he stopped them because he couldn't talk at that moment. And so I said, I'm going to be Mrs. Teacher and just remind you that you've now stopped crying because you want to talk to me. But please do remember that you started crying and you haven't finished it. So you will need to go and do your crying exercise. And he said, oh, that's fine. He said, I'm doing my crying exercises on a lot of mornings when I'm in the shower, because the shower is away from the house and nobody can hear me. And I'm doing that already. Now, I think that the crying exercise, that he's quite a macho guy, very athletic, lots of sports and lots of this and that and the other. But also the other part of his story is that he knew for many years that he was gay. And he went through the pathways of wife. He's got three children. He loves them. More and more inner conflict going on as life passed by. He's now in his mid-50s. And he said he did have some therapy. And he has organized, that's the wrong word. But he and his wife now understand the situation. He is still married. She and his children know they are adult, and everyone is accepting that he can follow his needs when he needs to, but that does not mean that the family life is disrupted or anything. That was all done quite a few years ago. I was really impressed by how he managed that. That was part of his assessment as well. But add that turmoil, inner turmoil for him as a young man of 22, with all the other things that were going on. And then this was something, who knows, this letting go could apply to anything else that was in his life. At that moment, it was about that accident. But who's to say it wasn't something else? I was so impressed by this because he's not been the easiest person to work with. You know, he's very matter of fact. And yes, we're a minute early and we're doing this. And yes, and I've done this and I haven't done that. So he's been quite a lot of nurturing. But that's where I've been impressed by the length of time we've taken. It hasn't just been the weekly finishing just before Christmas. We still haven't quite finished and we're in the middle of February. I think that hasn't done him any harm at all. It's quietly been going along, even if he thinks he's not doing anything. It's quietly been going along. Sorry, that's a long story for me, but it's quite powerful, isn't it? Mm. And you're right, Pia. We do nothing but do the teaching. And of course, check things out and ask for things. So we're doing a bit more. But we're not doing any analysing. The process is happening by itself.
But that's what it's all about, isn't it? Just to be there and have the space and
that's right.
And
that's
do right. The question, like yes. Bev was saying, you know, really. But it has to relate to AT, nothing else.
Nothing else. That's the key. It's not our business to have opinions about, whether they are. We might guess that... We think that some sort of upset is because we don't know unless we ask them. And it still doesn't mean anything if it's not related to the autogenics. But when these realizations are coming from the client, that's very powerful. It's strong. Oh, hey, whose supervision is this? Is this mine?
Shall we discuss a bit with regards of the test that
Yes. If this is the moment, have we finished this kind of section? Do we think we have? I think you're quite right, Sebastian. I think we should move on. Unless, Donna, you've got a story to tell, because we should, the rich stories are good.
Not as powerful as yours, Jane, at all.
No, okay. Well, it doesn't have to be compared. But,
The only thing I will share, actually, is just recently I've had a client who I sat in here, actually. We did the short stitch, so we'd had the assessment, obviously. She came back, session one, short stitch. The first time I led her through, she had so many memories popping up through this, that, and the other. Her process had started absolutely instantly. And she got it, understood it, loved it, because I'd checked out, oh, that's, you know, we've jumped right in here. How are you doing with it all? And she said, no, I love it. I want to get rid of it. So I'm welcoming anything else that wants to come up and go. She was on board with it. But that just showed me how powerful from day one, exercise one, I was leading her through the very first short stitch. And when we came out, yeah, she said, it was just like fireworks popping off all these memories. And that went on for about 2 or 3 days, and then nothing since, memory wise. Obviously, other things have happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that comes back to Pia's word, ripe.
Yeah, ripe. Absolutely.
Ready.
Yeah, she was. Yes.
And Luther used to say that when in doing the advanced level work of neutralization, very often the first session, which is nothing at all like short stitch, not at all, they're lying down in their inner session for maybe half an hour or an hour, and they are talking during it. But he said the first session seems to be a kind of melee of all sorts of memories coming up, that the person is moving from one to another, not exploring anything, not going anywhere in it, but just almost giving them their names. And then he also then said that as they progress through doing their weekly or fortnightly sessions of neutralization, one of those themes would appear in one session and another theme would appear in another. But it was like that first one. So that's what's reminded me, Donna, with what you've just said, that a whole, but you wouldn't believe that in a little old short stitch, so much could occur. So
absolutely. Never had that before, I must admit.
No.
I've had, you know, it felt a bit heavy and it was lovely and, you know, the usual, but I've never had such a intense reaction. And she was over the moon with it. She's like, no, I think I'm gonna like this.
Yes. Yeah. I've had plenty of people, plenty, but of course I've been doing it a long time, who have cried, where tears have come up, or it might have just been a little bit of a watering, but that's all, in week one. But then they go home and have quite a bit of crying in that first week, and so on. So yes, that too is starting very early. We should go to the test. How do we draw a line under what we've just been doing, which has led us to do? Do we do a shakeout?
Shake. Yep. Yeah. Actually, someone's just knocked on my door. Perfect.
Well, you go back. And dance to the door.
Sebastian, I wonder whether if you leave and come back, your sound might be repaired. Do you want to just say something? It's still like you're talking on a microphone in an empty hall.
Yes, it's an echo.
Yeah.
Off he goes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here, Biv. It would be so wrong if God.
I know. I couldn't miss it, but at the same time, I know that I need downtime. Otherwise, yeah, good self-care. I know I need to do that. Yeah.
Where's Patricia? Is she okay?
We haven't heard from her about today. It could be an oversight on our part with not telling her, but I did send her the link and so on. But she is having some tests for things, so she's not that well. So we also said, look, if you don't come, don't worry. Okay, so that's how we've left it.
So I've let's got back in. Sebastian's gone. Has he?
Yes, that's deliberate to see if we can get rid of his echo.
Oh, yes. That happened last time, didn't it, as well, or another time? I remember. I'm just trying to bring up the tests.
So we're looking at the last one?
Yes.
Good.
Because, well, we'd like you to lead this, actually, and any queries? Well, I don't want to do anything without Sebastian, of course.
No.
So we'll wait till he's back.
Jane, I don't know if this is the right time, but how is Anne?
Oh, I haven't heard any further news. So I think from what I wrote, and Bev, you won't know this, I've just told Pia because Anne is her supervisor. Anne was taken into hospital on Sunday, the 4th of February, as an emergency. And we only knew that she had gone to hospital. We didn't know anything further till quite a few days later when Stephen, Donna and my colleague, heard from her daughter. And she had a very serious surgery. She had a problem. I'll tell you about it. I don't suppose it matters whether people know or not. It's very difficult. A hiatus hernia, which is very common. It's in the diaphragm and it can push the stomach up underneath and it can be quite painful and spoil the food going down and all of that. She had a hiatus hernia. However, its place was in a very odd place. Ah, Sebastian. Hello. Do you want to talk to us? Sebastian?
It's any better? Sorry, I couldn't find the room.
Yes, that's much better.
Fabulous.
That's lovely. Well done. Lovely. Well done. We're just talking about Anne because Pia was asking. I'd had to tell her Anne is ill at the moment. She is in hospital. She had extraordinary surgery for the hiatus hernia, which was protruding in such a place that the stomach was trapped behind the heart. No, in front of the heart. Anyway, in very close proximity. And they have had to do extraordinary surgery. She's had a partial gastrectomy. They took some of the stomach away and part of the esophagus as well, which is a common thing to do. I mean, for other reasons. But they had to do that and very quickly because the heart was incapacitated because it was squashed and constricted. I know what it was. It was behind the heart. That's what it was. So the stomach was protruding behind the heart. That affected both the heart and the lungs.
Wow.
She has been extremely lucky and to have the most brilliant surgeon to do that surgery. She was in intensive care in an induced coma for one day. And then coming out, she was then in the high dependency unit. And I think it was her daughter who went to see her at some time. Well, obviously, daughter was with her quite a lot, I expect. But the message that Stephen got at one point, and the last time I saw her, she was sitting up in bed eating jelly and ice cream.
Very good.
But I mean, that's going to be quite a recovery process from that.
Wow.
She's 85, and so And all her other problems, of course, with her arthritis. It's not going to be an easy time. So that's where she is at the moment. And
well, thanks for sharing that, Jane. Yeah. And I send her my love and my best.
I will certainly do that.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I've no idea where she is at the moment. I don't know if she'll be home for a while. Home is a boat, which is going to be quite a challenge. But she's had 3 hip surgeries and 1 knee operation. And after all of those, she went back to her boat, determined. Determined is Anne. She does what she wants to do. Nobody can dissuade her, much to the frustration of her children, I think.
She lives on a boat?
Yes.
What kind of boat?
Like a barge, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. Have you seen pictures of it, Pia?
No, I'm still waiting for them, but she was talking about her little house as well. So we had that
But it's
apparently it's beautiful.
It's the most enormous. If you think it's a coal barge, it's an old coal barge.
Yeah.
Probably sort of 1930s, 1940s, where you would see them sort of steaming along the canals and so on very, very slowly with their loads of coal. And this had got into disrepair. And I actually saw it. She was living on another boat at that time and a group of us were on an outing. She said, I must show you my new boat and we're going to start work on it. This was 30 years ago
or
something. And they have converted this extraordinary boat into a house. And when you step onto it, you go up a narrow gangplank, which is only this wide. Just across from the river, across onto the boat. You hold on for dear life over on a bar here, and you get onto the boat, and there's a bar there, and then you're standing on a very narrow, no wider than this, sort of walkway that goes all the way around the boat, and you have to cling on to the bars there and put one sideways foot after another. I can't do it on Zoom. And you get to the wheelhouse and you walk up the steps, you open the door, you can walk up the steps. That's the wheelhouse. So when the boat is moving, that's where the engine, the wheels are. Okay. And then off the wheelhouse is a down steps into Anne's bedroom. That's at one end of the boat. But when you go this way down onto into the bottom of the boat, it's a lovely room where there's a piano, is where her computer is. And then you walk down some more steps into the sitting room with lovely things, artwork, driftwood from the riverbed made into beautiful things. She's done a lot of that herself. Pictures. She's an artist as well. And then you go further through into the kitchen, and the kitchen has an arga, an old fashioned, very, very heavy arga. And there's a skylight at the top and there are steps up to the skylight and you can get out there. But you would never know when you're in there that you're on a boat. There's no rocking. There's nothing. It's extraordinary. And then when I hear from her and say, I'm sorry, we can't have the meeting today because it's the spring tide. And we won't have enough time for our meeting. And when it's a spring tide, you've got to leap and jump 10 foot down off the boat onto the land. We can't meet today. Sorry, I can't do my shopping either. You know, it's just so funny. She's just so wonderful with it. And then she'll say another time, oh, my boat's got to go into dry dock. I'm just sailing off down the river. I've switched off all my Wi-Fi and electricity. And I'm just going down there to the... It'll be there for 3 days and then I'll be back again and... So it's extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary, and it's her life. So what happens now, I don't know. They couldn't actually, the ambulance men had to come. She was, they called the ambulance for her. I don't know what the reason was, but I guess that they were not able to lift her off. The insurance or whatever else wouldn't cover it in the way that I'm describing. How do you get a stretcher off the boat in those circumstances? And in the end, the ambulance men didn't do it, but Anne's son and her 2 grandsons did. I've no idea how, but they could manage to get her off the boat. she must have been in such pain and such difficulty, it doesn't bear thinking of. And into the ambulance and away to hospital quickly.
Wow. I'm just looking at pictures now of converted coal barges. Nice. They look amazing. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I hope her all the best for Anne, that's for sure.
Yes.
Well,
I will certainly do that. I mean, all I have is her email address, so I have no idea what access she has. I don't think she does it on her mobile. But I tell you, what I can do is send that via Stephen, and Stephen has got her daughter's details.
That
so
would
we,
be great.
We will do that. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Wow. Never know with life, do we?
No.
We just never know.
No.
Never know.
No, and this must have been brewing for some time on some low-level degree, and then suddenly getting really serious. Yeah.
It's funny, you know what? I saw her. It must have been just before where we have had one of our meetings, and I had a feeling she wasn't well.
Ah.
I just had the feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a sense, you know.
Yeah.
So it probably has been there for some time.
Well, I mean, it can't appear overnight. You know, it has to be a thinning of that diaphragm and all of the things that happen. So it's got to be that. But also, she's never well because of her arthritis, and she's in pain such a lot. And so when we see her on Zoom, she's in her element. She's talking, she's doing what she loves to do, and she's not in pain. But just to stand up and put the kettle on or get to bed or... I don't know if she manages baths anymore. I don't know quite what the situation. She certainly got a shower. But it must be very, very difficult for her. With all of that. Never mind this recent thing. So, yes.
Sad. But it's good that it went well for her.
It's extraordinary. It is extraordinary. And it is, yes, absolutely amazing. But of course, we all know, don't we, that when you've had something like that, it's the recovery time, which can be very difficult just to get over the other side of it. So we will see. We will, fingers crossed, and I will make sure, I'm making a note here to ask Stephen to convey all our love, or everybody who is here. I'll list the names, okay, via Anne's daughter to Anne.
Please. Very good.
Right, we must get to the test. I would like you to ask the questions that you were confused by. You would like clarification on. Donna and I have looked at them again. We just took the test paper that we've used for many years, but putting it onto a technological style might well have interfered with how it appeared and how it looked. So, and that might have been confusing, which is down to us. So nobody failed the test. We're not going to say that. This is our clarification time to get it in our minds and whatever. Yeah. Well, the idea was that if anybody didn't get the what we call a pass mark, just for the sake of calling it something, if you've been to your supervisor and talked it through, you've done the work. That's fine.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. Well, I took it to Anne, and she hadn't seen it in this format.
No, she wouldn't have.
Yeah. And she didn't like it. But you probably talked to her about it. She didn't think that... what was her words? That it was quite the right way to do it. She said, because I have to get my head back. That often an answer can have 20 right answers.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah?
And
then if it was not in what I said, and she said, yeah, but you're right in what you were saying. It was just not marked because it was not in the right test. If that makes, do I make sense?
Yes.
So let's say that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, five answers, but they were not listed with your correct ones. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Then it was marked down. She said, but you're actually right.
Yes. You're right. Yes. I think, thank you. This is actually the whole problem with trying to do a test in autogenic training, because in fact, there are many answers. It's quite true. And there are loads of things that we do which keep things safe. But the particular things we were looking for, we wanted to see was the actual practice, for example. So from that point of view, we were looking for those things that we listed. And that, but I think what we should have had this conversation before was that there are plenty of things that we do which are about safety. Of course there are. But the particular things, if we didn't know really that the close is perhaps the most important safe thing we could do so that someone comes out of the exercise if something is going wrong, that's probably the most important safety factor we have. And so if that wasn't there, we would mark it down. And so, but it also means there isn't always room to mark the other things up, because she's quite right. There are loads of answers. And we've always had the difficulty when we had written papers with these sorts of questions. It was extremely difficult to mark because people were writing masses and an awful lot of it wasn't quite relevant. And it was very, very difficult to find it. So we were trying to concisely reduce the things. But what we should have done, and I'm thinking this, Donna, I haven't said this before, I think we should have a test paper on another occasion so that you have, what I mean is a test paper.
Yes, yes.
An example test paper so that you can get the feel for what we're looking for. And of course, the tutorials were part of that, but not, of course, in a test sign. But Anne is quite right.
I don't know if this can help, but I mean, I've done a lot of tests over my times in my other studies, and a lot of it is multiple choice. A lot of it, you know, and it could even be a quite long description that they have. Is it A, B, or C, you know?
Yeah.
Which made it easier to, I mean, I learned heaps of it anyway, you know, so I'm saying this because it could have helped me if I didn't have to write a lot.
Yes, indeed.
If it was A, B, C,
yes,
you can still get a feel for where we are at.
Yes, yes.
That's what I would. That's what I would do with the testing, because the written I feel is more in our case studies.
Yes.
That's
yes, and we didn't really want it to be written, because we've struggled with those before, you know. But enough. The thing about I think it's a very good idea to go to look at multiple choice. We did a few years ago, and we sought advice from the guy who was running the GP exams. And it's a much, much more complicated thing than we realise. When we're faced with, is it this, this, or this, we are just answering that. But when we look at how those questions are worded and the likelihood of somebody choosing one over another, we've got to get the wording in such a way. It became so complicated in the end we didn't use it. It defeated me. It was quite extraordinary to look at all the theory behind multiple choice. So I don't know, but I do like what you've just said, Pia. I think, you know, that's why we did look at it at one point.
I do it for my testing with my students, and it is a big job to actually sit there and do the test, develop the test. It's huge.
Yes.
Absolutely huge. Yes. But there are programs that can help you do it.
Yes. Yes. Maybe we should look at that. Yeah.
Maybe Jade would know that.
Was there, could I just ask you, Pia, because you spoke to Anne about it. Was there one particular question where she, obviously we must have marked you down, and she said that, like, you had answered it? I'm just, because that might help us just move forward with the sorts of questions. So obviously, Anne would be the one to talk to.
So the one was, I got 2 out of 5, and that was number two. No, sorry, 3. Am I right here?
Number 3.
2 out of 5, yes, I've got it. What do you know about the auditing process?
Yeah. Oh, I think, what was it? Yeah, that's what she said. You actually got it right. I think this is answered right. That was her. And also, you know, going through it with her, it was like I actually had the correct answers. It was just my way of not being able to explain it. The thing of what is the process and what is the procedure? I got them mixed.
Right.
What does it actually mean, these two things? So.
Yeah.
But other than that, and also,
I was just saying thank you. It's just helping me to get it. I mean, obviously, I'd speak to Anne, but
yeah, speak to her.
Not the right time. But
I think you're quite right. This is difficult, isn't it? Because what is printed here, as I've said, a suggested answer.
Yeah.
So there are other things which are quite correct. But the most important parts are in the suggested answer. So if we leave it at that, then
there was also what she didn't say. Well, how can they know? And that was pain in the joints, and she didn't agree with any of them.
Now, which question are we here?
Is that a multiple choice?
Number 6.
Yes.
But the very last one, it says pain in the joints. Suggested answer is discharge and offloading needed. And she said, how would you know? So she didn't agree with that.
With that answer. No.
Yeah. What else?
And of course, the other answer is it's there all the time anyway. So it's actually, and she is quite right with how would you know? We can't know anything at all, actually. So from that point of view.
Yeah. But having said that,
training symptoms is the wrong answer.
Mm.
Because the training symptoms are all about the relaxation. So we might get the heavy, the warm, the slowed breathing. The pain in the joints is absolutely not a training symptom.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. So there is that very specific. Mm. Therefore, it can be a discharge, absolutely, from an old injury or something of that kind. And often the body is literally crying out for some offloading. So I think this is part of the problem when any of us, this isn't just Anne, when we used to do these tests we would sit in the room. This test actually was taken away to Mark, but the first one, we would sit in a room and discuss it, and we could never stop talking about it because each person had something else to say that was perfectly correct, perfectly acceptable. Everything is acceptable in autogenics. It's actually very difficult to pin it down into something that's black and white. It really is.
And that's why I think it should be multiple choice, because you narrowed it.
Because the narrowing down is done for you. Yes, yeah. I can get that. I think we should be able to work with that. And if there are some programs, we could look for that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of work. I know. It's a lot of work. Oh. A lot of work.
I'm really glad at least that we are having the conversation that says you do know it really. And there might be, you know, if there's a real misunderstanding, then of course that needs to be sorted out. And I don't know, because Sebastian, none of it was in your language, was it? So that's, you had that to contend with as well.
Yeah, I just got a bit confused with the marking, you know, criteria. For example, I noticed that Question six, how would you classify the symptoms below? And for this question, has been offered 2 marks. Yes, yeah? So I think I said frontal headache, discharge, training symptoms, and offloading needs. I selected all of them. So for that, I got just half of a point instead of 1 point, or I'm wrong. No, I think, was it 1 point?
No, but it should be one out of two.
Yes, it's not 0.5, it's 1 out of 2. But maybe that didn't come out in the format that we had.
So I have one for discharge, then one has been taken away because I choose training symptoms, and there is another one, and then it's 1/2. What does that mean?
That means not half a point. It means you've got 1 mark out of two, because we had to take away one. You got the discharge. What you did was answer all three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it isn't a training symptom.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to take that mark off the 2 marks that you got, which ended up being 1 mark out of 2. I can understand the confusion. We've got to look at how we do this.
Yeah, because we didn't realize that until we came to market. So that was an oversight on our part.
Yeah.
And the next one, like body image distort. I think I was giving just one correct answer, and then I gave a wrong answer, and I receive 0 points.
Yeah.
I should receive at least 1 point if I've been giving one correct answer or I'm wrong.
This was the problem, because, of course, anybody could answer yes to all of them, and then they get
the full marks with wrong answers.
You get full marks because of wrong answers. Yes, it's a tricky one. We have to work this out so that it's easier for you to understand. In fact, I think we've got to scrap the test and do it differently, full stop.
Yes, I do, actually.
But I think the idea here, if you answer yes for all of them, they're not all right. So, but it does beg the question about how we do actually mark it.
Yeah, originally we had got it in a table that you could just put what you wanted, couldn't you? Like a multiple choice that you'd get two. There's two answers to this. Which two would you choose? But I think Jade had trouble formatting that. So we tried to do it as simply as we could, and it just didn't. Transfer. Do you remember that, Jane?
Yes, I do remember.
And it was an oversight on our part.
Yeah.
That then we realised actually you could answer that with all three answers for every single one of them. So of course you're going to get full marks for everything. But then there was no penalising for putting the wrong answer down as well as the right answer down. So it all became a bit of a muddle.
Yes, I'd forgotten the bit that was a technological problem that we originally had a table for.
Yeah.
The table was much easier. Yes.
It was.
So that's, yes, I mean, it was not developed sufficiently well, let's put it that way, to where it should have been.
You know, when she went through it with me, I was so surprised with this one, the body image distorted.
Yeah.
And I said that it was a discharge, and the right one should have been a training system. Anne says no. It is totally, so she was very much.
Actually, yes. I mean, we've just described the training symptoms, haven't we, as more to do with the heavy, the warm, and the everything else.
But it is the mental.
But I think it can also be. Yeah, this is one of those answers that can also, you know, it's a very grey area. It's much more likely to be a discharge, of course, and that's the way forward. And I wouldn't suggest that it has to be, it couldn't be an offloading.
I'm just looking. I think it's a peers test here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is us. Where it says body image distorted, 2 marks, it's only got a suggested answer as a training symptom.
Mm. Oh. Mm. Well, that's
so that's a, which there should be training symptom. And,
or,
yeah,
there's and, yes.
2 marks, there should be 2 answers.
Mm.
But again, it's, I think it was a... the.
It's the same on Beverly's as well.
Mm.
Oh, that's very bad of us. I'm so sorry.
I think, again, it was trouble. We had such trouble with this question to try and make it. We tried to make it easy and tried to make it into multiple choice or just a tick box thing, and we had so much trouble with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, I think, with the formatting and then the marking went all askew, didn't it? And it,
yeah,
it's just been a bit of a nightmare, particularly this question.
Yes, because of the format, yes.
Mm.
And in fact, on Sebastian's paper is the only place that the body image actually says discharge. But yes, the body image. So I'm sorry, Sebastian, you've had too much information and the others haven't had enough on that one.
Well, it settles me that to know that that it was really a lot of it was a technology thing. So
yes, quite a lot of it was technology thing. It was.
Yeah.
And the other problem is testing anybody with autogenic training because almost anything goes.
But it was good to go through it with Ellen. Just see, because that way I found out how much I know as well.
Yes.
Formulated it in a different way, and then she said, you know, whatever. So I learned a lot out of it anyway.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's good. Bev, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say sometimes having a verbal test can deal with some of these issues that are arising, you know, and it's about comprehension of the question. Yes. I know there was the second question. You know, it's easy when you know how, but I didn't realise that it was asking me to think about the safety features once you started teaching the course. So I only answered it regarding the assessment and how that ensures that we teach autogenics safely. So I lost, I think, 4 points. Had I understood the question correctly, I'd have talked about the closing technique and other safety features.
Yes.
So, but, you know, it's interesting that if you'd have asked me that verbally, that would have come out that I didn't quite understand what the question was asking.
Indeed.
Yeah. So it's not that I didn't know it, but, you know, a score on a test doesn't capture all the peripheral knowledge that we have, does it?
And well, I mean, I think that the question says what factors are inherent in our teaching. And so I think the question is there, but clearly not clearly
in my
enough.
Mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I wasn't there. And that's not a criticism of the question. Yeah. I think it's just the nature sometimes of how we approach a test, what state of mind we might be in at the time.
All of that. And of course, I mean, Donna and I have done quite a few assessments, haven't we, with recent training programs where it's been really quite confusing. And the best thing we have done is actually have a meeting with people and found out what they know and what they don't know. And that's been by far the best way to do it. But then I think, well, could we possibly sit people down and do a formal test, verbally? But it might well be fair because it's not recorded, or it might be recorded. Go on, Donna.
You know, maybe for people like me whose first language is English, you know, and I was able to do that test and pass and get a good score.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody suffers with dyslexia or it's not their native language or has both of those things, I think maybe that's where a more creative way of testing can be offered to those students. Mm-hmm. And that feels kind of fair then, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hearing that loud and clear and feeling actually what we should be doing is offering it that way to all the students. And that maybe this kind of discussion or opportunity happens at the Viva at the end, where we wouldn't call it a test, but we can certainly ask a few questions and get a sense. So I'm not saying, well, you know, these are, thank you so much. This is a really good discussion because I think a lot is coming out of it for us to think about and implement. It's always been difficult. Sebastian.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, or maybe anyway, I do really appreciate Jane, because you just provide, you know, like alternative suggested answers. And I'm so grateful for that, because, you know, it just makes sense, honestly, because, yeah, I can notice that for some questions. Yes, I found some questions quite vague being answered with you. But there is something that I'd like to clarify, because I was going through the notes and I didn't find actually this answer. Like a client recovering from a recent heart attack. So according to the standard manual, you just say that you have to wait up to 6 months. I didn't find anywhere this answer, or please do correct me. Your suggestion is establish when this occurred, hospital treatment, discuss their psychological attitude in general, wait 3 months before. However, modern cardiac treatment and client motivation means it's fine to start AT, let's say within sooner. 1 month. So I didn't find this piece of information on our, you know, training manual.
In your training manual. I quite agree with that. I think you're quite right. What we have to do actually is add these things into the training manual. Of course we do. Mm. And so if you had had any experience, which you haven't, of somebody who is recovering from a heart attack, then actually let's apply a bit of common sense, but that still comes with some knowledge. So you're quite right.
I'm still a trainee, so
that's right.
To the manual, yeah. To the guidelines.
Yeah. And of course, what I've done there is try and open it out to be a bit more modern, which is why we must bring the training manual more up to date, because it used to be that you would wait 3 months after a heart attack, absolutely, and never go near anybody. My experience over the years has shown that you can, if the person is ready, and the extraordinary techniques they have to help people recover from heart attacks. A friend of mine had one a few years ago. They put a stent in and he was back to his normal life 2 days later. So, you know, it's not like the old days where they had to have bed rest for 6 weeks and then gradually go on to a program of this and that and the other. So actually, this is where modern medicine and how we used to have to apply autogenic training are out of step. And I'm sorry about that. So we should have stuck to the manual. Yes. That's the end of the story, Sebastian. We should have stuck to the manual on the answers there.
And I think I'm quite grateful, you know, from my point of view, you know, because I used, you know, in the past, you know, to deal, not now, long ago, to deal with tests, I think is the best format, like this one was, with, you know, open questions, you know, open ask questions and multiple choice combination. Because sometimes if you have only multiple choice, it's highly likely to fail.
Well, yes, I can understand that. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for providing these suggested answers. I think, you know, it just clarified, you know.
Well, it didn't seem fair just to send you back your test paper with marks and then nothing else said. So at least we gave you something to hang things on to and to think about. So that's,
Because even now I was going through and I said, you know what, I don't need any extra clarification. You've got all the answers there.
Yeah. Right. Pierre?
Just on that one with the heart attack, she says, you don't even wait a month. You get the clearance from the doctor that it's okay. And then you start straight away. You can do that 2 weeks after, a day after.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's how we do it now.
Yes. Yes, and it is how it is now, which is really what I was trying to say there, you know, in a slightly different way. But yes, you really can. The other side of it is actually, I'm not even sure that a doctor's clearance covers us for anything, because a doctor doesn't know what autogenic training is and has absolutely no idea, just as we don't, how they're going to respond. And most doctors will just think that autogenic training is a relaxation technique and that's the end of it. So it's not even, in my view, necessary to do that. Although if you felt that you had more authority behind you, you and that felt comfortable for you, of course, get a doctor's agreement. But I don't think it's really worth the paper it's written on.
And what Anne was saying is that it was not so much for us, it was more for the client.
Right. Okay, yes, that's fair enough.
They were nervous about it.
Yes.
The clearance doctor will relax them.
Absolutely.
I understand that one too, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, you see, in that way, maybe the correct answer to all questions that you find in an autogenics test paper, stand by, Donna, is actually follow the client.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have a creative answer to the heart attack one, which is depending on the treatment and how well they are and so on and so on, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And that is following the client. That might be the correct answer to all test papers in autogenics.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true at all. We have to have a little more practical idea. Of course we do.
Yeah, and I think as students, guidelines are very important, because
yes,
otherwise everything gets so woolly and you don't know where you are.
No, that's quite right. And I think that is sort of the problem with us. We've got the guidelines, but still people can slip through. Yeah.
But I tell you what I learned so much from was the tutorials. I can't even say them. What was tutorials?
Tutorial. Yeah, you've done it.
Tutorials. Yeah, I learned a heap from them. Please keep them, because I thought they were brilliant. Because then we go through them in class and I thought they were brilliant.
Yes.
They were really, really good. So don't take that out for the next course.
No. Okay. And those were devised from Luther's old exam papers,
right?
The tutorials. So it is material that we are expected to know. But as we also know, everything is going to be adapted to where the client is in their process and so on. I mean, Donna's story about the woman reacting to the very, very first short stitch exercise with all those things. You know, if we think that shouldn't happen, well, we can't stop it happening, and it's only short stitch, so you can't go shorter than short stitch. So we follow, we see what happens next. But then somebody else might walk away and never do their autogenics because they didn't like that situation. Well, that has to be their choice. Don't know why I've got on to that exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's good to go through it. Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
Have we done enough on it? I think what Donna and I are taking away is quite a lot of revamping.
It might be possible to discuss about the professional article or essay, I think, because the deadline is next month and, you know, I guess everyone of us would like a bit of guidance.
Yes. The first thing to say is that this does not have to be a professional, publishable piece of work. Not at all. You're still very new with this. You haven't got enough experience to be able to do any kind of study or anything like this. So please don't feel put off by, I've got to have this ready for publication. Some people want to do that kind of thing. They're used to doing that sort of thing. It might be doctors who have a lot of a particular expertise in a particular area, and they've already encountered autogenics connected with that. And so it's very easy for them to write something for The Lancet. I can't say that anybody ever has had anything published in The Lancet. Okay. But a 3,000 word essay is going to be more concerned with a topic that you choose and any research that you can find around it. And it might be with some ideas of how autogenic training could contribute to that topic. And Donna, please interrupt me if I'm saying the wrong things.
No, no, I was just getting the green sheet.
Yes. Yes, okay. Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Actually what we have asked you for.
Yes, that's right. And I haven't got mine up here. Yes.
I tell you, I now that that is out of the way with the case story, I started to, because I have some ideas that I've been mulling over. And I listened to, not Jane, to Anne in our section about the essay. You know, it's not long, it's about 40 minutes, and that was really good. So I would suggest us to listen to that again, because it was really, I found it really good.
Excellent. Pia, is that a recording of one of our sessions?
Yeah, it's the recording. I can't remember what we week, but it's listed there. And it was, I have it on my other computer. Or maybe I can see it here, actually. It was very good. It just gave me, oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, I get it. Oh, hang on. I got it here. It is preparing the essay. It is Sunday training, the 4th of the 6th last year. Tutorial 2. It's basically, that's where it's sitting.
So, can you say that again, Pia? Sorry, I was just getting a note open.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday training on the 4th of the 6th.
Yeah.
Three. And it's AT and physical illness. Then the next one is rest activity cycle with Ross. And then the next one is, the third one is preparing the essay. Brilliant. And then the fourth one is tutorial 2. So that's on that day.
Right.
Gosh, we were busy that day.
It's only about 36 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was good to listen to. It just refreshed everything.
Thanks for that, Pia.
I found it very, very good.
And what I have said just now is a sort of overview, I think. And Anne's great big thing about the essay is always to start off with an introduction, and you must explain a little bit, just a paragraph, a couple of sentences of what autogenic training is. So that's a... because otherwise, somebody who doesn't know what autogenic training is, the essay doesn't make any sense. And we've had a few like that without, they've written it knowing that the reader is going to be one of us, so that they think they don't need to explain it. Mm-hmm. But actually do write it as though the reader has no idea what autogenic training is, but you explain enough to whet the appetite and then of course link it to the topic of what you're describing. Thank you, Pia. Yes.
I wonder if I'm going to write it as I'm going to have it published. I won't publish it without your...
Well, without, I mean, yeah.
With Bass's
brilliant
approval, but it just gave me a mindset. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to see a magazine where it will be fitting to have something like this, because I'm going to write on anxiety. Because we have so much anxiety in Australia with all the natural climate changes that it's really bad. So it's a big, big problem. And I was thinking, so I went to the newsagent and I thought, so what magazines? And I came out with, it's called Wellbeing. And I think it would be brilliant in this. So I've been reading some of the, what's it called? Their way of what they go through, you know, the articles, just to get a sense of what they wanted, and that has been really helpful. So I'm going to pretend that I'm going to write for that magazine where people are they want to have better health in well-being, just not mentally but physically. And so that's my way of having that angle of, because they have no idea what autogenics is. So I'm going to just a brief, and it will just show how much I know and I don't know. Because it's, yeah, so that's how I approach it. Would that be right to do it that way, Jane?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yes. First of all, you've got a topic that you're interested in, and it's very topical, shall we say, in Australia and so on. And that's absolutely, it's the way that professional writers do it. They buy several magazines or journals or whatever and get the style of it. So that you're more likely to get it published if it has the style, the kind of language that is used throughout that magazine. And if that style of language is speaking to you, then, and you write in the same, they're quite likely to accept it. So, yeah.
Good.
Yes.
I'm actually looking.
Similar to what Pia's been talking about then. So, I've done some research before I started all of my intense coursework on the kind of the way the autogenic training could help people experiencing the menopause. And I haven't decided 100% whether to do it in an essay or looking at the article, whether to go down that route. And I notice it says professional journal. So I just wanted to clarify. For example, I saw in the supermarket, there's now a monthly periodical magazine on the menopause. Is that considered a professional journal for the purposes of this activity? So if I use that as an example of what kind of articles are being written in there, how many words, blah, 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 I could use that as a format. Would that be acceptable?
I think that would be absolutely fine. I don't know what that original terminology, professional journal, was referring to, whether it would be, I don't know, a cardiac professional journal through the Royal College of something or other. Yeah. So I'm not at all sure that any of our students have ever published anything at all. Yes, I think Ruth Naylor did some years ago. And there was another one somewhere. Yes, I think there have been one or two in counselling journals, for example. I think there was something at one point. Oh, I think I was asked to write something at one point years ago in the psychiatrist. I can't remember. So those are professional journals, yes.
Yes.
But it actually doesn't matter, I don't think, what you want to write in, because anything is going to get the word out there. So if there's a menopause magazine and you are writing about something which is very relevant or could be, and especially with your research and so on, then yes. Sorry, that's a long answer to a short question.
That's helpful, to know. And then in that, normally when you read articles in magazines or journals, the person writing it has interviewed people, eminent people in that field in order to provide evidence that backs up what they're talking about. And I've got a number of people that I'd like to bring in as kind of reference quote sources. Would that be acceptable?
I don't see why not. It's still part of a a bona fide piece of writing. That's yes.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think what we want, I think what Ian Ross does the marking, or at least he has done, so we hope he's going to again, and so does Anne. And then what they do look for, six references. But whether they, I can't remember now what the green papers say. Donna, you've got it open, haven't you?
Yeah. References, minimum number is 10.
Oh.
And minimum author number is 5.
Right.
So,
and I would be using necessarily the quotes as the book reference sources.
No.
It would
okay.
be mainly kind of, okay, so this is what's written, but it might be that I know that there's a naturopathic nutritionist who specializes in the menopause. So all the clients she works with are going through the menopause, and I might ask her for some quotes about the kinds of symptoms that the majority of her clients are presenting with. And one of them she's already shared with me is stress. And that's how I would tie in.
That's a link. Yes, absolutely.
And so it gives the article some weighting in that I'm not just, because it's quite hard to find a link in the research between the menopause and autogenic training.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking for credible sources that can link why autogenic training would be something helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's superb. And I think you just need to be careful that you don't weight the article so much that it's 2,500 words on an interview rather than the meat of the rest of it. So, but yeah, you wouldn't
thanks.
Do that,
Bernie. No, but thanks for pointing it. That out. Yeah, I guess how I would approach it, and I think it says in the notes that assume your reader knows nothing about AT, which is in an article often it wouldn't be, is to really explain AT from basics, you know, and then expand upon that about how it can be applied and find the book sources. And that was one thing I wanted to ask you, Jane, about that, because the kind of books that I would be going to first and foremost, there's your book, there's the one that Kai wrote as well. Kay Kamani.
Yeah.
There's the AT in Organic Illness book.
That was never published. I mean, I don't think it's sort of readily available, but certainly you can use it. I mean, it is a book and it's got.
It's the only one I found that mentions menopause. And in an AT, it doesn't say much about it, but it includes the word in a sentence when it's talking about PMT and something else. And then it says menopause as well.
Okay,
that's good. And then there's the five books from Schultz and Luther have been written. And then there's, is it Ian Ross's book on regulation and something or other, stress affectation, something?
Yes, that's a very difficult book.
I've not read that. I'm just listing.
No, and we haven't supplied it this time, to be fair.
Sorry, Bev, do you have access to these books? The just one that you mentioned, the five books written by Oh, you have them.
Do you have a copy, Sebastian? I believe that Ruth has got copies for sale. Let me dig up an email, see if I can, if you'd be interested in. Mm-hmm. But I think Jane and Pia were talking about those books, weren't you?
Yes, they are, well, they're 1960s. I mean, they are seminal works. And the problem with them is that they are very difficult to read for poor Pia and Sebastian. I think they would be quite tough. Volume one was my Bible, I must say. But we only got a set of six books. It's a shame to separate them out and have an awful lot of volumes 2 to 5 sitting in somebody's loft. And then volume ones have gone out to various people. So it's actually a sticky problem. We need to get these books electronically available. Somebody did do the work on it some years ago. This is another task for the trustees, Donna.
Yay.
So just to find somebody, actually to find somebody who deals with this kind of stuff and can get it. We know it exists, the electronic versions. So I wouldn't worry about those too much. And my book is self-published and it isn't on Amazon, and I wish it was, but the electronic version is on Amazon. So it's okay. You can quote them. They are books.
Yeah. My question, having listed those books, is can you give us any other ideas of books that we might not be thinking of to kind of help point us in the right direction?
I'm thinking of the kinds of books which are much more generalistic. Well, that's odd. I'm looking at something now.
Excuse me a minute.
That's odd. There's an author called David Hamilton. But you see, that's not to do with menopause. Stress do. Yes, I mean, Hans Selye was the great writer on stress, who, and asked about, told us about on her lectures. We've got it. You should have a reading list. I think it should be in your training manual. And Sellier was certainly in there, and his book was in the 50s.
I'm just curious, does he mention about AT in his book or not?
About whose book?
Sellier.
Oh, Sellier.
Yeah.
The reading list, I think, contains it.
Okay, cool.
It should be, if I can only find the reading list. In the beginning of your training manual, I thought, or somewhere.
We definitely have a reading list.
Yes. It's not very up to date. That's the only thing. But some of these old books I'm mentioning. Oh, I'm not finding the reading list. I don't know where it is. That's very odd. Oh, is it in there? No. I'm sorry, I'm not finding that. I will find you a reading list from somewhere. Everybody's busy looking at the moment. Thank you. You have found? It's much easier to look, isn't it, in a paper copy.
I think I have found the reading list, yeah?
Yeah, it's in the pink section of the online stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
In the pink section. Yeah. So is it at the end? It would surely be at the end or the beginning. Oh, look, bits of paper
stuck together. It's in the end.
In the pink section. It might be, of course, how you've arranged it as well, and not necessarily that we're getting all of that in the same. Now, I can't find the reading list in the pink section.
Maybe I'm looking online. In the digital version, you sent it. So
yes, that's fair enough.
Third page in, Jane, of the pink section.
Right. Okay, I think I got two pink sections. That's where it's in. Right. That's all about the code of ethics and everything else. Weird. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I will find it at some point or another. I've just got about teaching AT in the pink section, but it must be there somewhere. Well, if you have all found it, then that's all we need to worry about.
Yeah. Mine is the third page in on the pink section.
And the pink section's what's the first page in that?
Postgraduate certificate in autogenic training.
Training. Course structure. Right.
Yep. Then the next page has got a box with the modules.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the next page is reading list.
Yep. Oh, now mine is not in there. I must get it and put it in. Add reading list. Thank you, Donna.
I did say that about three times and realised I'd muted myself. So I do apologise.
Well, we all had our noses in our copies or in our machines, so we yeah. Okay.
What are you meeting?
Right. That is going to get sorted.
It's very difficult to recommend books actually for the essay or the article because it depends on what you're writing about.
Well, that's true, yes. But you have used the word stress. And if you write about the autonomic nervous system and how it can get so out of balance, you can't go wrong because that gives a good concept of not only autogenic training, but also of what we're writing about. Anne's lovely circuit, you could use that. Anne's quote. Mm. My symptoms, what is it? Stress makes my symptoms worse. My symptoms are particularly bad when, no, stress makes my symptoms worse. Yes. My symptoms make my stress worse. It's that circuit.
Mm.
And that actually, for some people, is a real difficult conundrum. Stress makes my symptoms worse. When my symptoms are bad, I'm very stressed. How do you get out of that? With autogenic training.
Yeah.
So that puts an argument, which can fit any essay you write, yes.
Jane, may I ask you, you know, all these references and stuff, because there's quite a lot in medical journals and whatever when we go in on and search for it. Do we sprinkle it out in the essay, or is it listed in the end of the essay, whether it's an essay or an article? What's the most correct way?
I don't know that there's a most correct way, but of course, if you are referring to something by an author, you could, I mean, the way of doing references is the Harvard way, which you've got the guidelines for doing that. And I'm no academic, so I'm not sure, but I think if I were writing something like this, I would be putting the author's name, page 52 or whatever it might be. It's often an author and a year and a page something or other. And then, of course, you've got the full reference at the end in the list of references.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So you can put a footnote. I think when you say sprinkle them in, I wouldn't do it for the sake of it. Well, of course, there's two things. There's the references and there's a bibliography. Mm. So you might have done quite a lot of reading, but you're not actually going to refer to any of that reading, but the bibliography at the end could have a couple of, I mean, you might, for example, read my book and put that in the bibliography, but you wouldn't necessarily choose to use anything out of the book in the essay.
Okay, that's so great.
Bibliography, it's background reading. But if you're making a specific point, which somebody has said X and Y and Z, then you do need, that's a reference. And that's something that is in your essay. And that's different.
Even if we had two in sprinkled out in the essay or the article, and then we have what we have read to get to where we are, we mark that, the 10 that we need and all that.
Reference is really what you refer to in an article. I mean, that is exactly it. But your background reading might not appear in the article, but you want to put at the end that you've read more on this kind of topic. So it's been this book and that book and the other book.
Okay.
Okay. But the direct reference will be something you quote or refer to because it adds to your argument, which might be that stress is, a cause of a lot of absenteeism at work. And then lo and behold, so is the menopause a cause of a lot of absenteeism at work. And where those quotes come from would be.
Okay.
And what the numbers are and the figures are and the study that it was done. You know, that's what the reference would be.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you.
What was that enormous book you just looked at, Donna?
Silly. The Stress of Life.
Oh, gosh.
Nice. I was just seeing if autogenics was mentioned. It's not in the index.
No, it doesn't appear very much in
No,
anywhere.
I didn't think it would be, but I just
No.
thought I'd.
It's always worth looking. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an author called David Hamilton who, oh yes, can't remember. I've got his books. I'm just not seeing them.
Wisdom of
And
you are as well.
okay.
Next to it.
There's another one.
Body.
Why Do People Get Ill? Which is a fascinating book. That's not David Hamilton. That's by two authors, and it's downstairs. Shall I pop and get it just so I can give you the title? Hold on.
That maybe she didn't probably bought that for me on Monday.
Could I ask, is it possible for my essay to quote a Romanian writer? I mean, definitely involves 80, almost. Or all the, let's say, in my bibliography, all the books should be written in English.
I think we need to clear it with Jane. I would say it's fine if you've got, as long as you can quote the book and you obviously translate the quote, because otherwise we won't
Yes, of
understand it.
course. Yeah,
But
but
I.
the book is written in Romanian, so there is no English translation of. Is that a Romanian author? A Romanian author.
Here, come.
Wouldn't it be okay? Because they can do a Google Translate on it.
Yeah, I can't see why it isn't. I mean, we can double check with Jane because she's the big boss. But I can't see why. There's a lot of books written in different languages about autogenics, and I'm sure they would be, if you can understand them, you can use those. So I can't see that it would be a problem. But as Jane's here, we might as well just run it past Jane. Yes.
I do apologize. Can you read that?
Why do people get ill? Yes.
Yes. I don't know what is under that scribble bit. It's just something that somebody did. It's by Darian Leader and David Caulfield. Anyway, I'll send you that.
That would be great.
Again, a lot of these are quite old.
Jane, Sebastian was just asking if he could quote from a Romanian book. That would be okay, wouldn't it? If
I don't see why
obviously.
not, as long as it's translated into English. No, I mean, anything that is relevant and that you find, then yes. Yes.
Thank you.
What is she called? Your dog?
The fluffball,
Boo.
Boo, Boo, yes, and she's beautiful. She's a big ball of black fluff at the moment. Yes. A lot easier to handle than the other monster who's continually in my face. This one isn't so much. She's a lot calmer.
Bev, you had a dog.
Yes, we don't have her any longer. No,
Oh.
I know. How long? 10 days after Christmas, we decided it was time. And so, yeah, it was very tough. But yeah, I'm struck by a bit of grief right now, actually. Yeah, just, it's good to talk about her. We miss her, but she had a brilliant life. And we've made her a shrine in the kitchen with a picture and flowers, and she's still part of the family. But yeah, we grieve the ones we loved.
Yes,
Yeah.
Yeah.
absolutely.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then I
Yeah.
got COVID. So
Oh, no.
yeah, and then I got cold sores. So clearly, But yeah, the body responds to the emotional pain.
I've just found another book, The Wisdom of the Body. That's again, that hasn't got autogenics in the index, but it has got the autonomic nervous system and imbalances and all sorts of bits.
Jane, I wonder if I may ask a couple of questions before we end. You know, I work a lot with people with physical illnesses, like they come to me with cancer and how to deal with that and whatever. And I, in my work, I do talk to the cancer and things like that. Right. And in the manual, and I've forgotten to ask you a few times, it says about the organ-specific AT. What is that?
The organ-specific is when we, rather than it being a personal and motivational formula, which is something about we are, I don't know, which is about how we behave or feel or ideas like moving what forward or whatever. Yes, there's something like that. Yes, this is more to do with the body. So they were called organ-specific. But on the whole, we don't really suggest that people use them. And I think it would be, I think that because you can do harm if you don't really quite know what you're doing. So the received wisdom is, and I usually use this as an example, not to say my liver is lovely or my kidneys are cool, because actually warm kidneys are probably more important than cool kidneys. So we don't actually want to affect something in the body which then might be affected. Well, we don't want to address something which might then be affected negatively. So if you are suggesting, I mean, talking to the cancer in your work is a completely different thing to what we would be doing. Of course it would be. So I'm not saying anything there. But of course in the work, yes, go on.
But I'm thinking like if somebody comes in and they don't have a strong immune system, could it be in a formula that my immune system is strong or whatever?
I think that would be very good. That would be very good because that's not about a specific part of the body which could just hit the wrong spot. That would be very good. But funnily enough, I was having a talk recently with a... Yes, it was actually... Sorry, doesn't matter. I noticed, I've just talked about somebody with AT, and from my own experience, I found that I didn't get any colds anymore. I didn't have coughs. If I got a cold, it would go straight to a cough. It would last me for 6 weeks. And I used to be a singer, and that really, really disrupted my life. I was always in anxiety because I didn't know if I could do the next service or the gig or whatever I was doing. And it was no fun at all. And as soon as I started to learn autogenic training, and I mean as soon as, before the course ended, I used to get so many colds, I stopped getting the colds. And if I did get one, it lasted 3 days and I had a half a day of a cough and it was gone. And I couldn't believe this. And it continued like that. And ever since then, I've hardly had any colds. That's not strictly true. When I got grandchildren, I started getting colds again. However, that shows that autogenic training does have its effect on the immune system. And my theory after that, I often find myself saying to people, we know that cancer cells are going on in all of us all the time. And it's our immune systems which deal with them and send them packing. So there is nothing to say that if autogenic training is going to improve the immune system, surely we can argue from that we are reducing our risk of getting cancer. Now, that's a huge statement to make. Nobody could possibly prove it. And so it's just one of those things. But it might just have some substance to it. So then we're talking about just let somebody learn AT. And we don't have to even name the immune system.
And you wouldn't do that in the formulas either?
You wouldn't do that in the personal formula. Well, I mean, you could, but I would always do Luther's, it was Schultz, who said, go round the back.
Yeah,
okay. And strong and healthy in every way might not be believable now, but hey, I'm heading. This is where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I sometimes, sorry, Pop, can I just say this bit, Donna? That I think the language we use is important. Does our natural brain really understand what the immune system is? Do we really, can we actually direct it? Because it probably does. But, let's be just natural with things. I'm afraid that's a bit of my take on most of this. And to avoid that 1920s quote, I can't remember, it's very well known, I am getting better and better every day. And I don't like that one because I'm wondering when the person gets to the end of the journey.
Mm.
It's always I'm getting better. It's never I am well. And so I do challenge that one. But people have their preferences, so I wouldn't dictate it. Mm. Sorry, Donna, you were going to add something, were you?
Yeah, I was just going back to talking to the cancer.
Yes.
Offloading is fantastic for that because I would imagine if you've been given a diagnosis of cancer or anything actually that we don't want, you're scared of it, you're angry about it, you're sad about it. So but if you want to talk to the cancer or what have you, put it in the chair and give it what for.
And that's
offloading for it. And I think then you can get it out, all of that stuff. And then leave the autogenics, like Jane was saying, just let it do its thing. But you've actually offloaded all of the stuff that comes with the illness.
And that is and the work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. No, I just saw it in the books and I was meant to ask you. I just wanted to see if that was something that I missed. But this is very good.
I think you're quite right. I don't think we did talk about organ-specific formulae particularly. And I'm as I say, I'm a great one for using ordinary language. Thank you so much, Donna. I had that in my mind as we were starting this bit. Yes, of course, get angry with the cancer. Be afraid of what the future is. Allow those feelings out because they're there anyway. So they need to move away. That word emotion.
Brilliant.
And of course, you wouldn't start your client with the cancer with that.
No.
Good. I'm just checking because because it's an important part of what we do. But no, we don't start.
I get that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another question.
You know the recordings that is in our back end. You were talking about when we finish the course that they will be taken off, and. Right. I don't know about others, but I so enjoy them and I get new things all the time when I listen to them. And, you know, I would put it on when I clean the house and whatever. Is there any way that we can have access to them even when the course is
finished? Yes. Can we talk to Jade about that, Donna?
We can. First of all, though, I would talk to Bev and Sebastian because it's your recordings. So, and we did agree to begin with that when the course had finished, they would all disappear. So nobody has got them.
I think it might be a cool story to drop if everyone would have the option to download them and keep them for themselves, from my point of view.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really happy to share them, but I would want my personal sharing to be taken out. You know, that's the bit that I don't have any control over, once they're downloaded and so on. Mm. So, yeah, that's it. But other than that, I'm fine, with sharing and downloading.
I'm wondering if there's any technical way to edit these so that the sharing is absolutely minimized or not there at all, and it's just left with the topics and the, we'll call it lectures, and the discussion around it. I mean, I don't know if
I think that it's used for us fine, but you know, like someone to share, you know, whatever has been recorded with us, perhaps that will disagree.
I'm just thinking at the moment, because nobody's downloaded it, it's all on the portal. If you then download it, like say Pia downloads it, then it's up to Pia. She's got control of who now hears that because you've got it.
Oh, it wouldn't be for anyone to hear it. It's just for my own learning.
And I mean, if Bev and Sebastian are in agreement with that and we all trust each other, then I think maybe we all go away and have a think about how we feel about that. Before we do anything, I'm not going to delete anything yet. Course isn't up yet. I'll have a word with Jade. It might be a long job to go through all the recordings to kind of edit who said this little bit and then somebody said this bit.
You know, and some of that is the rich training that we get when we share.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm quite protective of my personal data. I'm really happy for you guys to have it. But, you know, it makes me feel like knowing we've got that confidential boundary that I can be myself and I can bring in, you know, my personal material. Mm. And yeah, that's me just saying what's important to me. Yeah.
It is important. Absolutely. And I that's why I'm not saying, oh, yes, Pia, you can have them, because I need to check with everybody to make sure that everybody's happy. Because once I give them to you, I don't control that anymore. That would be over. You know, at the moment, I control it, or Jade controls it, actually, because I just hit the stop button and then she takes over.
But I
know where it is.
The other option is just to have them online. You know, you can view them as many times as you want. You know, you don't even need to, you might not even need to, you know, download them. You can, you know, watch them on the portal. I mean, if it's, you know.
I have to talk about storage. Yeah. That's the other thing. We want to put other things online, and I don't know how much storage we get. And obviously all these recordings are taking up a lot of storage. So there's, I think, lots to talk to Jade about.
Okay.
But maybe if we all just have a think, I'll see what can be done. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get back to you all on it.
It's not a lot of storage it takes, because it's just audio. If it was video, different story.
Yes, that's why we made it just audio, because it was taking up far too much with the videos as well. But if we're in the future wanting to put more stuff up there as well, which I know we've got a backlog of, I don't know how much storage we've got, or if we buy another package. I don't know the answers to this. It'll be another meeting, Jane, to discuss what we can do with that. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm not going to do anything until I know everyone's happy with it and it's all safe and you're all protected. That's my concern.
Thank you.
Are we saying that that people can download it and then it would just sit on their machines and in no other place? But that's, it could be in the cloud. It could be in all sorts of places.
Mm.
Well, I would have it on a stick, so it's off.
Oh, on a stick, that's a good idea.
I wouldn't have it sitting on, because you never know these days, you know, so I'll just have it on a stick, on a hard drive.
Yeah.
I think we certainly need proper discussion, proper exploration, and then and in the meantime, listen to them as much as you can before April.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's good to know. Yeah. Okay,
but I will talk to Jane and see what the options are. But I'm just going forward, if we keep every student's recordings, it's going to get a lot of, you know, different logins, different this, different that, to, it's going to become quite complicated to keep it going through the website when the new group starts.
Yeah.
But I'll see what I can do. And maybe have a bit of a listen. Maybe it won't take that long to edit out certain bits. I don't know. I'll talk to Jade first.
Okay.
But yeah. Sorry, I'm not just handing it all over to you.
Good. And I'm mindful of time.
Yes.
And you want to ask a question too. Yeah. Can I just say that, you know, the publications, that are listed in the references with the books. There's articles there. A lot of them you have to pay for. Does the BAS have any copies of those that can be shared with us?
I'm sorry, which ones are you talking about?
In the book, in the reading list. There's
list
a
reading list, right?
General articles on autogenic training.
Oh, yes.
And then further up, there's studies on autogenic training. So some of these Anna has written. But if I put them in and it goes to ResearchGate or wherever they are.
Yes, yes, yes.
You need to pay like $15. Yes.
No. We've got access to a lot of that, and old articles and bits and pieces. You should have received Anne's study on sleep.
Yeah,
I hope you all got that one. Yes, that's important.
Yeah,
this is another situation for the website, Donna, because we used to have just ready access to a lot of this stuff. Some of it's quite old.
It doesn't matter, though, does it, how old it is?
No, it doesn't. No, not at all. No.
Because I know there's a meta-analysis in the reading list, and I thought that would be interesting. But when I put it in online, I couldn't find a free source, a free PDF of it. It gives you the abstract.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's all. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, if you've got them, Jane...
I'll see what I've got, certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, I handed them all over to the old website, you know, it's not, but I don't mean I gave them. I mean, I will, whatever I've got.
Yeah.
I'd refer it. And we can certainly, Alice will have some probably.
Yeah.
If I haven't got them, then Alice will. So we'll work on that.
Yeah. Yes. Jade might have some as well, because I know she was doing a lot for the website. She might have something. But yeah, I think, again, it's something else that's hanging in the, it needs doing, but it's, how much time have you got? What job do you do first?
Yeah, quite.
but yeah, if we can get hold of them, A, they can go on the website, but before that, we could perhaps just send them round to everybody so they've got them just to read beforehand. That would probably be more helpful, wouldn't it?
We can use some of those for references if something is applicable.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
We will try and get that done as soon as possible.
Yeah, and the website will have to wait, I'm afraid. We'll get it all up there at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Sebastian.
Last question. No one mentioned, or perhaps we just missed, about the personal development logbook.
Do you mean the journal that we encourage you all to keep?
Yeah.
Yes. We introduced that a while back, and some people were very, very diligent about writing their whole experience of the training, and it was wonderful. And then we asked them to give a short presentation at the end. 15 minutes was supposed to be it. And when we did it for the first time, and somebody opened up his laptop, and he was still talking an hour and a half later, we realised we'd missed the mark. This is just too much. We can't expect it. So we stopped doing that. And I'm really sorry that that was still in your training manual. Thank you so much for bringing it up, Sebastian, because we haven't talked about that at all. All we did talk about was that in our autogenic group, supposedly an authentic group, that you would keep your autogenic diary, which is very different to your experiences as a student. So don't worry. I think we're not doing that now. Okay. That I hope that for interesting things, you've been keeping notes for yourself anyway, just for yourself and your own awareness, as we're talking about. The awareness of what we're doing, our own personal autogenics, number one, carried forward into teaching it to others, number two, which Pia has talked about today already. So I think to catch that down in writing is all to the good, because you will return to it from time to time, get a lot out of it. But we decided not to share it anymore because it was a complete nightmare.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
Did you have to do that, Donna, in your training?
Especially not sharing it. I'm wondering if, because I've got a whole book of, but that might have been when I first learned it.
Yes.
And kept my diary. I don't know now whether it's spilled over into my professional training.
No.
But we certainly didn't need to share anything. No. That would have been.
No, I wasn't considering sharing, just submitted with, I thought there is a deadline that we have to submit our personal.
If you've been keeping it, Sebastian, then do.
It's not updated.
No.
I mean, I've been taking notes, definitely,
Yes.
Okay.
Then in that case, it's really about your personal development. So if people have done that, which you've probably done spontaneously anyway, then that's fine. I think we used to encourage you to take it to your supervisor as well. But
and put it in the case studies, I think, though. I think we were encouraged to put self-development bits or self-reflection.
Yes, well, self-reflection, certainly, and what we've learned.
Oh,
and that
yeah,
sort of
okay,
thing
that, okay.
Yes, but thank you for bringing it up, because that needs to have been said. We've now said it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Are you running next year?
I'm sorry?
Are you running a next course next year?
We've actually settled on dates in September of this year.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's good.
So go and have a look at the... Actually, it'd be really helpful to get their feedback, wouldn't it, Donna? If you look at the website, at the new professional training page, and see what you think, and if there's anything that you disagree with or say, oh, no, they can't put that because that wasn't ready, or whatever, please will you let us know? I think that would be a nice bit of feedback. Yes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Yes.
Thank
you very much.
Folks, I need to go now.
Yes, I was just about to say we need to let Bev go.
I know, I'll have my husband. He'll be sat in the car tapping the steering wheel waiting for me. I know. Thank you so much, Donna. And I was going to call you Pia. You're Jane.
Right. Well, I'll answer to anything.
Oh, thank you so much for today, and thank you to my lovely fellow students on this journey. It's so nice to hang out with you again. Yeah, all the best with your client, Sebastian, and your case study, and all the best with your articles and essays. We're all on WhatsApp. We're there for each other.
Yes, and there's nothing to stop you lot meeting when you want to have a thrash around on some anger offloading against the tutors and things like this. You will do whatever you need to do. Put our skills into action when you need. Yes.
Absolutely. Have a lovely time, Bev. Yeah,
thank you. Yes. Bye. Bye-bye.
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 Right. Yes, you've got something to say. Yes, Pia, go on.
It's a very quick one. What do you charge for your groups?
For my groups?
Yeah.
I haven't run a group for a very long time.
Right, okay.
But what I did for quite a few years was the essential assessment of courses individuals. So that would be the same whether they are taught individually or whether they then learn it in a group. So that would be on top, but I would charge for a group probably about half or a little bit more than half of what I would charge an individual. But I would also have to put numbers on there. I wouldn't want a group less than four people at the minimum.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
So I think something in that ballpark. I don't know. You don't do groups, do you?
No, not privately.
No.
So I haven't.
Yeah.
Think about that.
And as I say, I haven't done it for ages. It was just so difficult to get people available at the same time in the same place. Life changed, I think, in sort of early 2000s, and I haven't really run groups at home since then. I've got a little book here. Sorry, I'm not going to bore you. I used to do them at. I did some at British Airways. I did some at a health centre in the city. Oh, look at that. Oh, I was running groups in 2013 and 2014. Oh, even in Oh, in 2018, that was
okay.
a rather special. Yeah, I haven't really done anything at home in a group since 2014. No, those are all individuals. No, 2013. Some years. Yeah. At least
because
10 years.
My thinking is that I want to go to the community centres and run courses through mm-hmm. them. But they do mm-hmm. advertising or whatever. But it's like you get $20 an hour for it,
yes.
you know, which is
yes.
ridiculous money, you know. And
it
you have to
ridiculous.
Drive there, you know. So I just wanted to see what if there was a ballpark. But about half,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, and of course, if you're working through another organisation, you've got to go with their guidelines. And I've worked at different places. I did very well out of British Airways, but I didn't do so well out of, you know, homeopathic centres who didn't want to charge and didn't want to. So I just did it for the nominal rate. So
yeah.
It was good experience, but you know, you've got to adjust, I think. But in my own home, that would be my going idea.
Right. Jane, do we do training? Do you offer training in meditation, TA meditation and neutralization?
I don't. It's neutralization is now, I don't find that anybody is either needing it or asking for it.
Okay.
The need would be someone who's in trouble, you know, several months after doing AT and things are still churning around and it's all very difficult. And the trouble with it is it is quite slow and cumbersome.
Right.
I know we've talked about this, but the whole issue of making a recording of the session that then the client then transcribes is very time consuming. It's very useful, but I sort of look back and think, well, I did it mainly with people who weren't working. They had the money not to have to work.
Right.
Or they were at the age where they could still manage the time, part time or whatever it might be. And actually, I did a bit of evening work. So that'd be younger people after work, but very often they would fall asleep in the sessions. So it's actually not that easy, and I don't really do it clinically anymore, which is a shame because it is wonderful stuff, but it's not easy to make a business out of. And I don't do the meditation because my honest experience of it is that I don't get out of it myself. I just like my basic AT,
yeah.
And it puts, and the meditation for me just put too much effort in there. I'd got to think about something. I'd got to go to that. I'd got to think of a color. I'd got to do that.
Mental.
And
yeah.
it didn't suit my relationship with orthogenics. So I don't offer those things. However, Nida did, and Patricia was going to offer some meditation classes, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, we're
going
to try.
Have
There's very few therapists that do it, and that we need a course to teach more therapists
yeah.
to be able to teach it.
Yeah.
That is one of the things on our to-do list. So
that's right.
Yeah,
it's floating
to
around.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know Nida, I learned it from Nida.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So would you like to learn to teach it to your clients?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one for the list. People are interested in it, so I think it is something we need to get up and running at some point.
Yes.
So would this be advertised on the website?
When we've sorted it out, yeah, it will be. And there'll be emails going out to people as well. But it won't be just yet. We've got so much ahead of us to sort out. But it is something that I've been interested in for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just trying to find somebody to teach me to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible if I learned from Nida, even if I just pay her like one-on-ones?
Yes, I think it absolutely would if she was willing.
Have you done the meditation with her already?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you had. So you would. So isn't Nida going to run classes to teach?
Oh, she said no. She was just saying that I should talk to you guys about it as well. Yeah.
Well,
but
in that case,
willing. She's quite willing to do it for me, you know. But
then look, she's qualified to do that, and so we can authorize that, and that's okay. Were you a bit doubtful there, Donna?
Yeah, because when we asked her to do it, she wasn't interested.
I'm thinking, okay, so we'll have that conversation with Nida then.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's some wires crossed somewhere along the road, because we did that whole meditation evening to get people interested, and then it all got into a mess, as you know. So, yeah, now I don't know where anything stands. So, yeah, we'll look into it, Pia, and get back to you. I think
what I would, yeah, that best answer, what I would hope for is that rather than get it lost, that we find a way.
Yeah,
well, yeah, teaching up and running. Absolutely.
Yeah. Which we kind of got a plan with Patricia.
Yes.
I agree. Yeah. Good. Wonderful. This has been so good. And I don't want this to end, but also, have you been thinking about, I know you've got so much on your plate with this, but it would be so lovely that we met every 3 months or something. And I'm more than happy to pay for your time for the group, but like a group supervision or however, because I think it's so important to be plugged into BASS somehow. Otherwise, it's just another course that's done and we go on on our own.
And they're going west.
So I think it's important to stay, you know, have the contact.
I'm very keen on group supervision. I think we've learned a lot today in quite a short time. Do you know, I often tease my family because I spent so many years organizing who was doing what, when they were going where, all the stuff, and organizing the lunch boxes and the timetables and everything else. And now I say to my adult children, will somebody please tell me what I'm doing? And then I'm happy. Okay. Now, what we could do is, Donna, I don't know if you'll agree with this, is hand this idea back to Pia and to Sebastian and to Bev.
Yeah,
for them to look at what they would like to do and come back to us and ask for it. And I would be absolutely delighted to be a part of that. Okay. But I think I don't really want the hassle of organizing it.
I totally get that. And I also just think for maybe there's more the newcomers, you know, that this can be, because to spread the word about, you know, AT, I think the mothership has to be strong in helping them.
Absolutely right.
You know?
But once you become a member on the website, I believe there will be like regular meetings and perhaps you might discuss, isn't it?
We've done all that and it's turned into things that it wasn't designed for. We've got to be quite careful. Donna did a wonderful job starting up AT Talks and it turned into people preparing big lectures and turning into something that it wasn't. So thank you, Sebastian, because you have just said exactly the idea that Donna came up with. So we have to find another way to make it happen. And this might be the way that we actually do it, not by our organisation, but you say, we'd really like to meet up. We've got 3 days that we've got in mind. Would you be available? And it might be one of us who do it or two of us do it or whatever.
Yeah,
and it could just be for 1.5 hour or 2 hours, max. You know,
but on the other hand, let's say like Pierre was just saying earlier on, if one of us might need like after we finish the course, like extra guidance. I mean, like as long as we're happy to pay, I mean, someone could be delegated to work with us, isn't it? Not if possible.
Well, you can continue work with your supervisor, of course, which is a good start because you've got a relationship with them. So that's always in the background. And in fact, you know, we would recommend, especially when you're starting out, that you have at least 2 supervision sessions per client that you teach. Or if you're doing a small group, that would be ideal. You can actually have 2 supervision sessions. You know, we assume you're going to be teaching autogenics, all right, but it's for dealing with any queries. Of course, that's important. Everybody needs that support for start.
I know I will definitely because you always come up. I mean, I've been lucky with having very willing clients. But what if they're not that? And how do I deal with that? I don't have the practicality of what I have it up here, but not in real life. Do you know what I mean? So I would certainly want supervision, definitely. Anyway.
It's just to have that opportunity to talk it through. And then you would find your own answer. There's always, you would find your own answer. Sometimes we have to stop working with clients because it simply isn't working out. And that, and it's very rare. I must have done that. I think actually it happens from the client more than it happens from us.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I, I'll just say one thing about organising meetings. I know we've handed it over to you, but I'm very happy to do the web, the Zoom link, etc., and set up the, you know.
Right.
Bit of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Very happy to do that through BAS, because it would be a BAS thing, so.
I think this is great. Well, what about Sebastian? We talked to Bev about this.
Yeah, please, Sophia, of course. Yeah.
Then I'll get in contact with you guys if that's okay.
Yes.
And then, wonderful. Excellent.
And we're talking, I mean, we haven't finished today, really, have we? Because we've still got our meetings in April to go through and the coursework to be talking about and so on. So, you know, any time before April, actually, it's not long till April, is it?
Not really.
Right, yes, it's not long. And we've got essays to mark.
And did we set a date for, I think we did, didn't we?
We did.
We did for the vibers. Yes, you've all got a time. I think we've got you first, Pia, so that you can go to bed after it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, 13th of April.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, no, actually, Bev is first. I've got Bev, then Pia, then Sebastian. Unless I've got that wrong, but I don't mind who I talk to. Whoever turns up, I'll talk to you.
I have one at 10 o'clock. What? Yes. Oh, but that's my time, isn't it? No, that's your time.
Yeah, I've got Bev, then Pia, then Sebastian. 9, 10.
Mine is 10, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I got that.
That's in our time. And I've got Bev at 9 o'clock. Maybe she's got one of her training weekends.
I think that's what happened.
I think that's what it was, That's good.
And then Sebastian at 11.
Anything we need to prepare for that?
We will send you an instruction. It's a good idea to revise your case studies because it's the case studies that are the meat of what we're doing. And so if we've got any particular questions to ask for you to be familiar with your case studies, or bring it with you if you want to look something up if you need to. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
Lovely. I wouldn't miss our meetings, must say.
Well, we're going to have some more. So we'll be fine.
We've just fixed it up.
No bloody test. Yay.
Yeah.
That's so good. Well, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for making this possible, you know, because thank you to Zoom and the pandemic. You know, I wouldn't be here had it not for, you know. So I'm just very, very grateful. I mean, this is full circle. I turned 60 in 2 weeks and I waited since I was 12 years old. That was almost my dream to do this. And I do it before I'm 60. I mean, it's a long time, you know, but I do this for my younger self. And I'm taking my clients through it, by the way.
You've got four clients.
Yeah. They were the one that I did the marketing exercise with, remember? I said to them, can you just be my beta group? And they all signed up for it. And I charged them for it.
Fabulous.
Excellent.
And their other work with you is put on hold. And then they might pick up. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Yeah, that stops. And so you'll pick that up again and you'll see changes, or they will see changes.
And I am very interested in seeing, so it's a little bit of experiment too, because it could be that after they do their AT, they don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
That could very well be.
Yes.
Very well be. So I'm curious.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? Because we often have resilience showing up with autogenics.
Yep.
People surprise themselves with what they can cope with, or with the decisions they are making much more easily than before. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I asked if I could get testimonials for them, because that would be good for the website, for my own website when it comes to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I want this out here. Yes. I really want it.
Oh, can I ask you quickly, Pia? You had looked into Helen Gibbons, hadn't you?
Yes.
And decided you didn't want any, is that right? And I'm curious to know why. I know she only learned it from a book. Maybe we've had this conversation already and I'm going over old ground.
I would love to tell you, but I really would like the recording off.
Oh, recording off.
Okay.
I can...